Tonight, Nintendo pioneered the ability to make people buy the same games all over again, but now they've been officially recognized for these feats on the second round of NES Classic Production. Flashback to the 1980s and join us for this, along with the rest of the night's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on August the 5th of 2018, episode number 740 of our show. Here over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. Myself, Rob Roberts, joined by Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
I'm arguing with my sum tables on numbers.
Are you spreadsheet warring?
I am spreadsheeting right now.
I see.
Because I have to track how much money I spend.
Don't they do full-on games in Excel? Isn't that like a thing people do?
I know people do like Perler and knit patterns in Excel.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually, to do like Perler patterns in Excel. Actually, our show roll that lists all the stories we're going to do. Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, though, because Excel is great for like grids. Although, technically, I don't use Excel to do the show roll. I use...
Open Office,
yeah, which is...
On my Mac, it's Numbers. On my PC, it's Open Office.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Spreadsheets.
Except when people give me Word for free or Office for free. No, I was doing my budget because I have to put what I spent in there, but I've used spreadsheets plenty of times with my collection to do our personal inventory at home, which we need to do a new one. Especially now that we have pinballs to add to it, which we have a new pinball.
Congrats. What'd you get?
The Shadow.
Oh, wow. Like the Alec Baldwin movie from 94 or
Tim
whatever?
Tim Curry.
Oh, that's right. Tim Curry
Tim
was in
Curry
that.
Tim Curry is on our pinball.
That's right. Oh, your pinball's been blessed.
But it's also a really interestingly built table.
Huh.
Because it has like this upper section that you use like bumpers to get all these little targets.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what they call it. I've only seen that movie like once.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's our new table, and we just gave back Whirlwind that we were borrowing for a tourney.
Oh, I do like Whirlwind too, though. But I understand. Whirlwind had that little fan at the top that, like, when you get the bonus mode or whatever, it like blows air on you. When you're in like some stinky, sweaty bar, like that thing feels really good. You know what I mean? Because I think they had a Whirlwind. There's this random bar in the Castro. I think Moby Dick's. You know the place I'm talking about, right?
I haven't been to Moby Dick's, but I know
I think they had it.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things.
You know what would make sense for them to have?
Huh?
A Fishtails.
I know one of those bars in Castro had an Elvira table, which is very appropriate.
Now, the Bolt, the leather bar in Sacramento, for those who don't know, has a Simpsons pinball party.
Oh, that's right. They do. Mm-hmm. That's right. Fun. Pinball at bars. Fun. Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of...
Not only can you play pinball, but you can see people getting fucked in the ass. Well, no, last time I was there, they had porn up on the TV.
Wow. Dark Sakura. Wow. This is a show about video games. You take your filth elsewhere.
I'm just saying, last time I was there, that's what I saw on the TV.
I need somebody pure and wholesome to clean up
find that in this room.
Clean up this mess that Dark Sakura is leaving. So say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
Good.
Did you go to church today?
No.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, what's new with you? Probably, hopefully less bars and seedy stories than what Dark Sakura is talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been still working through my Unreal stuff, so I'm pretty much done with the lesson that I was on.
So are you doing like a the cooking with Unity?
Sort of. It's like a code along. It's a Udemy course.
Oh, a code along. Okay.
Type of things.
Yeah.
But the guy, he makes mistakes. And I usually catch him when he makes them.
But that's, like, the best way to learn.
But, yeah, it is. And then I like how he kind of also gives, like, different instructions. Like, okay, we've done this a couple times. Now I'm going to challenge you. Go do this. And then he'll pause the video and go build this part out. Mm-hmm. And then you're done. And then you unpause it and you make sure you did everything correct. And that seems to be pretty effective. Plus, I also went through and tweaked some things. And I even been commenting on the course because... Like, I just got done with the audio portion of it, and he has a background track that plays. Well, the way he triggered is, you know, when basically the level starts, it plays the track.
Right.
But it doesn't loop it. So I'm like, well, you know, you can do it this way, and it will loop it every time. So,
interesting.
You know, I'm able to, like...
So you're trying to one-up the teacher. No, I get it.
Well, I'm just suggesting that, you know, and not to mention, you know, the track he made for the background doesn't really loop well, but, you know, hey, whatever, you know.
All right.
I'm not going to, you know, it's just what it is. It's just a really basic get-to-know Unreal thing, and I've gotten to know Unreal.
All right.
I just got an immediate announcement alert from Dan.
Oh, boy. What?
A dude in the top 8 is using Yamcha.
Okay, so actually, I'm okay.
On Evo.
I'm okay with this transition and your random interjection here, because I actually want to talk about Evo here at the top of the show. Because obviously the Evo tournament is going on in Vegas right now. What, Mandalay Bay, right, is where they do that? So
yeah.
Evo's happening
Our
right now.
Our buddy Alex is there.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend that's there too. And I know a few people that are there. Good old Rob D from back in the All Games days. I'm seeing his stuff on Facebook. He's there right now. So anyhow, Evo's happening. I must admit, I haven't been watching a lot of it, though I have been following some of the drama. But you've been watching some of it, right, Jamie? What have you guys been watching?
We watched a few of the matches, like last night when we couldn't get any sleep. We were watching the Dragon Ball FighterZ play, watching some very interesting people. This one guy busted out Tenshinhan. And was fucking kicking ass. I mean, it was... All these guys were like, Brawly, perfect sell. Brawly, perfect sell. Dude busts out Tenshinhan and owns. I'm like, yes!
Did you see some of the drama going on with Smash?
No.
Smash.
Smash shit.
The Smash Brothers stuff was pretty interesting because it came down to a Bayonetta versus Bayonetta fight. And I guess some of the crowd is not super into that because I think some people feel Bayonetta is overpowered because of some of her combos and what have you. So again, you will have to excuse me, fighting game like fans and Smash community fans. I'm not as up and up on what's going on, but I'm just kind of getting the cliff notes. So apparently the crowd was like booing. Like, what was going on. But there was some interesting stuff that was happening with the contestants as well. Like, I don't know if it was because of the booing or what, but when one of the matches started, and this was, like, the final match, they just stood there for, like, a minute, and they didn't fight because the crowd was booing. And so, finally, somebody came over and was like, you guys need to play. And so they played. But there was, like, something really interesting that happened. Like, one of the guys kind of, like, accidentally fell, or he lost his life falling off the edge, and it was like an accident. He was supposed to do it. So what happened is the other player jumped, like just jumped off the ledge and traded life for life, which, like, in the finals of a competitive thing, like, what in the heck?
That's sportsmanship.
It is, but it's also, like, you know, some people actually are viewing the stalemate that they were doing. One of the guys flipped off the crowd as he walked off the stage. They're seeing that as kind of like unsport. Basically, kind of like everybody all around is being really, like, immature. Now, to be fair, the contestants, I believe, are 16 and 17. So I'll cut them some slack on the maturity because, by definition, they're not fully matured yet. So that's fine. But the audience, like, I know there's a lot of adults in the audience.
That's some bullshit.
And they need to, like, I know. That
wah, you didn't get your way. Wah.
Or, wah, Bayonetta is overpowered. Because, well, I mean, then don't show up. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's all, it's surely there is a character that counters Bayonetta. Surely. There's a character. And again, I don't know my Smash.
I agree, and don't
well.
Call me Shirley.
But there must be a character that counters Bayonetta pretty effectively that you would pick and, you know, maybe is not otherwise a stellar pick. But if you wanted to take out a Bayonetta, you could do it. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, at any rate, Dan just messages me because he was like, I want to see someone in the top 8 using Yamcha. Well, someone's in the top 8 using Yamcha.
Well, going to the chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where, of course, we do tape live at Vogue Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And we do get some live comments. Tiger Claw says, the Smash Brothers community can be toxic. SGO and Hunter Matt says, the whole community was shitty last night. Tiger Claw says, if you can't counter Bayonetta, you suck at Smash Brothers. As simple as that. But SGO and Hunter Matt points out, there isn't a counter. That's part of the problem. And, well, here's the thing. I don't want to blame an entire community because I know people in the Smash Brothers community that are fucking awesome. So I don't want to, like, be all like the entire community is I'm not going to do that. But I am going to say that display of the community was poopy. And so y'all need to have a come to Jesus moment and, like, figure out why
y'all need Satan.
You need to figure out why that's okay to, like, boo children. I'm sorry, but 16 and 17 is still a child by legal definition. Why it is okay to boo children. And on top of that, I'm hearing shit about, like, death threats and shit because, of course, we live in a social media era.
Of course.
Of course.
If somebody's death threats because he played the character you didn't like. Oh, like, my God.
Yeah. How fucking cool are you sending death threats to a 16-year-old? Like, oh, my God.
Can I have your babies now? Where can I fuck this person?
So, obviously, heavy sense of sarcasm, I hope, is clearly coming through. None of this is acceptable. So we need the decent Smash Brothers people to, like, kick those other people out. But to be fair, this is a problem that is not unique to Smash Brothers. This is a problem we have in the gaming community that's a little bigger than this. I don't know if we can answer this on a 3-hour show. But it is going to take the less shitty people to stand up and say, hey, stop being shitty. That's just how these sorts of problems get fixed. You have to call out. I mean, this goes for a lot of different things in life. Like, I don't want to get too deep, but the reality is when it comes to things like racism, okay, like it takes a unshitty, non-racist person to really stand out and call out the behavior of somebody who's being racist by saying, hey, you're being racist and that sucks. And if you keep doing that, I'm not going to be your friend. It takes that to, like, counter that.
Or as in Wonder shows him, that's racist.
Sure. Well, you know what? Sometimes.
Or if you're at a bar and you see, or out in public and you see a woman being harassed by some guy, you stand with her.
Yeah. I mean, and that is, so honestly, and the only reason I bring it up and go to that, like, really, like, heavy place is because, like, this sort of behavior is not even necessarily unique to gaming culture, although sadly it runs rampant in gaming culture. But, like, this is a society problem that has to be solved by less shitty people sticking up for people who are marginalized.
Standing up to it takes a kind of fortitude that takes some development.
Yes. Anyway, Tiger Claw in chat says, you know, this is going to continue with Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. You know these people will find something to bitch about. Like, then, like, don't throw them out of the arena at Evo. Throw them out. Why are they there? If they're going to sit there and boo and they're not enjoying it, then fucking get out. Leave. Nobody forced you to go to Vegas.
I'm sorry, but the stinky cunt gets the douche. I'm in that kind of mood tonight.
Why? Why are you doing this tonight?
Because I'm in that kind of mood. If they're going to be cunty.
You can say that. I can't. If I said that, I'd get angry. I get death threat tweets. You can say that.
If they're going to be cunty, then treat them.
All right.
Actually, douches are bad for you. So honestly, I think it is the worst insult to call someone a douche. Because douches are bad for you.
Oh my God. If any episode ever deserved the explicit tag. All right. Anyhow, let's talk about some of the...
I'm making up for your blunder on Bobby by making us worse.
Let's talk about some of the, like, less, like, explicit things coming out of Evo, because there is a lot of news happening.
Playing as Panda.
Okay.
In Tekken 7.
Oh, the competitor that was doing that?
Simply Panda was so cute. Against Devil Jin.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cute. And he... The Devil Jin guy won, but the Panda player did pretty freaking well.
Yeah, all the Tekken 7 hype and all the stuff that's happening around that at Evo and everything is kind of reminding me, like, oh yeah, Tekken 7 is supposed to be, like, really good. I need to pick that up at some point. So I think I probably will, because I, like many of you, I loved Tekken 1, 2, 3, and then kind of maybe I looked at 4 and I kind of lost sight of the series. So I need to come back to it with Tekken 7, which just before we went live tonight, apparently they dropped a bombshell on season 2 characters for Tekken 7, and Anna is going to be there, because you have to have Anna. Come on, you have to have Anna. Negan from The Walking Dead is, like, their next big crossover, okay. Which is, yeah, I know, it's kind of this.
I don't watch Walking Dead, so I have no idea who that is.
I don't watch Walking Dead. He's the antagonist that carries the bat with the spikes on it.
Oh, that played by, what's his face that played the dad on Supernatural?
Yes.
Jeffrey Dean Anderson.
Yeah, that's it. So him.
And the comedian.
Yes.
Is that the guy from Everybody Loves Raymond?
No, I don't think he's from Everybody Loves Raymond, no. Or was he? I don't know.
I just remember him from Supernatural.
Look up his bio. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
The brother from Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't know which character he is in Walking Dead, because I didn't get to watch that show because my wife didn't want to watch The Walking Dead. She didn't want to watch, you know, Breaking Bad. She wanted to watch House again.
My mother watches Walking Dead. Or she wants me to watch it.
Or Grey's Anatomy again. Or God, whatever other awful show.
Here's the thing. I don't watch it because A, it's on Sunday nights, and there's
B, usually, Netflix exists.
Yeah, something else going on. It's too violent for me, is my honest answer. I just, you guys know how I feel about the gore violent stuff. Like when it's cartoony video game Mortal Kombat 2, it's funny and I can deal with it. Or like the Happy Tree Friends and stuff. That even that's a bit much sometimes. But like
that should be a crossover character for
I can
Mortal
deal
Com-
with it. But like the new Mortal Kombats that are like super realistic, I'm like, this is,
oh my God. Now I really want a Happy Tree Friends fighting game in the style of the latest Mortal Kombat game where it's just ultra violent.
Wasn't there a Happy Tree Friends game years ago? I thought there was. I could be wrong.
I don't remember.
That was years ago. Anyway, I don't even think that's a thing anymore. Anyway, other news out of Evo. Let's see. DLC character Terry Bogard for Fighting EX, which is going to be a character in there. Aria and Sharon teased. Volcano Rosso and Pullum Perna are coming out between August and September. I know none of these characters, unfortunately. I don't follow this series at all. But I probably should, because I've always had a soft spot for like the stuff that came from SNK and Neo Geo back in the day, and obviously that's where that all comes from. Soul Calibur 6. Now this is more my speed. I love the Soul Calibur series. Astaroth and Song Mina are announced that are going to be in the game. Why don't they just say all the old characters are coming back? Because I feel like every week we have an announcement.
How many games has Maxie died in?
Probably all of them, but
I only
know,
want him to
the
come
soul
back
is eternal.
If he still has the voice actor he had in the original Soul Calibur 2.
Anyway, I'm super excited about Soul Calibur 6. I'll be checking that out for sure. There is a new Guilty Gear game being made. That is something that was announced as well. DOA 6 teased some reveals that are coming up for Gamescom, but unfortunately they did not announce anything. There is thought that during the show later tonight, so maybe we'll have some breaking news in part B, Capcom may tease some Street Fighter V stuff, but that would not happen until the top eight. That is, I believe, what's happening at Evo right now, is the Street Fighter V stuff. So we may hear about that mid-show at some point. So that would be cool.
Oh, okay, so I did recognize him from Grey's Anatomy, unfortunately.
One of those shows your wife made you watch.
I was like, but he does look very much like that. There's a comedian that looks kind of like him, too, that was the brother in Everybody Loves Raymond.
I don't know. No worries. There's an update for Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Edition that is just hit the Switch. And if you want to play Dragon Ball FighterZ on Switch, the open beta is next week. SNK Heroines is going to feature a female Terry Bogard, which is pretty cool. So kind of like some gender swapping there. But, you know, we've kind of seen that in some other games before. So that'll be, you know.
Yes,
like,
and he is much hotter as a female.
It depends on what you're into, but sure. All right. So anyway, lots of talk about fighting games this weekend because of Evo. What was the last fighting game you got into, Loki? You don't really play a lot of fighting games.
Last fighting game I played, jeez.
What about you guys in chat? What was the last fighting game you super got into?
I don't know. I'd probably say on my arcade cabinet I was playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't really get into like any fighting games like a lot. Yeah, that's probably the last one. I mean, I may have played... No, I don't know if I played Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I did want that one, though.
You know what I wish they would release, like, on Switch or one of these, like, collection type of things? Maybe it's been out and
or
I just haven't seen it.
Or Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. I did play that on the
did
Wii.
You? Yeah, that game was pretty cool. I want them to bring back Capcom vs. SNK 2. And I imagine it's like a licensing nightmare, which is why that won't happen. But that's like one of my all-time favorite fighting games. But I feel like that's a game I want on Switch that I just, like, I'll probably be waiting forever for something like that. But that's like one of my all-time favorite fighting games is Capcom SNK 2. So
yeah, that's pretty good.
And then let's see. I get into the Soul Calibur series, so I'll be excited when Soul Calibur 6
is out.
Or
I did try to get into Mugen a little bit. But,
oh yeah, that was the thing you were. That was like betting, wasn't it?
Well, salty bet. Yeah, that was fun. But no, actually, well, the problem with Mugen is like balancing. I mean, I guess you just don't give a shit about balance. It's just like fuck it, throw everybody in there and balance whatever. There's no fucking way this is ever going to be balanced. But I kind of wanted to get into that, but more, you know, actually balance it out. But yeah, it's just too much. It's too overwhelming once you see all the options. It's like, I don't know who to put in my roster. It's too many yeah. people. Yeah. It's like, I put all the characters, every single one of them.
probably the last fighting game I probably played like more than a couple hours of like recently was actually Street Fighter 4. Like that game kind of still delivers because it's everywhere. Like, remember, Street Fighter 4 was a launch title on the 3DS.
Yeah,
remember that?
I have it on my cabinet.
Yeah. But then, obviously, you know, it keeps... Like, they put it out on PlayStation Plus or something not that long ago. One of those, the Xbox Gold or something. So, and then it's, you know, it's very easy to find a copy of Street Fighter 4, and that is a very solid fighter. So I would
that's
say that's one that...
So they didn't put that on the Switch.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising that doesn't exist on Switch, huh?
Maybe they have like some exclusive deal right now with console exclusives for Street Fighter as a whole franchise.
Well, no, because that Switch just got that massive collection that we just mentioned with the Street Fighter 3 and the Alpha and, you know, that whole bundle. Yeah.
So but no 4.
Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, SJ100 Matt is talking about FighterZ. Was a game he got into recently. I played online and stopped playing. People are just insanely tough on there. Bonds 006 says, I played me some Marvel vs. Capcom 2 before I came home. But SJ100 Matt points out Capcom vs. SNK2 is also up there. Jamie, I didn't really get your opinion on this. What's like a fighting game series you've recently been into? Like a fighting game series you like follow, watch, or that you've played a lot of? Because I feel like you probably have collectively played more fighting games than the two of us, with your history.
I was really into Tekken for a long time when I started working at that Amco arcade. Tekken 3 was my jam. Mm-hmm. Tekken 4 I was really into. Tekken 5 I was really into. Tekken Tag not so much. Tekken was really the big one for me for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I was also really into Darkstalkers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, really into Darkstalkers.
You know, that makes me think of Puzzle Fighter. And even though I guess Puzzle Fighter is something that is represented at Evo. Evo does have, like, Evo is not just, like, the big fighting games that everybody knows. But I guess Evo has a lot of tournaments for a lot of little stuff, too. Like, I guess they have the Windjammers, because that recently came back, right? So they have a Windjammers tournament there. But they have a Puzzle Fighter tournament that happens at Evo. And that is more up my alley. Like, Puzzle Fighter, That's a fun game. I wish
Pocket Fighter.
I don't, but I'm sure they do. But I don't know. I wish Puzzle Fighter would come back. And yes, I'm well aware of the iPhone Android game. So I'm going to go back to what I said. I wish Puzzle Fighter would come back.
I wish that they would do would bring Red Earth out, which I know that ship has sailed because that should have been Saturn era. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see like a sequel to Red Earth.
I thought you want a Rival Schools.
Want a Rival Schools. That was my other jam.
Yeah.
I even posted on my Twitter the other day that I still want a Rival Schools game. You know, those are my big things. And, you know, Dan and I played a lot of X-Men versus Street Fighter because we had it on Saturn.
Nice.
And then Marvel Super Heroes versus Street Fighter. We had that.
Is there anything like recent, like some of the recent batches that you've gotten into, or do you kind of nothing beats the 2D classics?
I finally got to play Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, what'd you think?
I really liked it. It was a little difficult to get used to the moves, and we're actually, even though I have it on Steam, I'm going to get one of the console releases. I just have to figure out which one we want to get.
Mm-hmm.
If I get it on Switch, I'll have to get another Pro Controller, I guess. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And but I really think that my big fighting game enthusiasm kind of died out after Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Well, you know, honestly, like, the Dreamcast was, like, the fighting game console for me. That was, like, all the best 2D fighting games were on the freaking Dreamcast. And I didn't even buy Dreamcast until, like, Sega had already canned it and they were down to, like, $40. But then it's, like, I went back and rediscovered all these amazing games. And even not just the 2D stuff, but that's where, like, Soul Edge was a Dreamcast thing, right? So, you know, like...
Well, Bonds 006 says Darkstalkers is the new Half-Life. And I was like, except there was a third Darkstalkers.
Darkstalkers did get to 3, yes.
We have Vampire Savior.
All right. All right, well, fighting games is fun, but I know we play a lot more than just fighting games. And let's talk about the other games that we have been playing in your gaming week. So, Darkstalker, how was your gaming week?
It was pretty dead. I've had a really busy week because I'm in training at work. I don't know. I read the WoW wiki and I read the Injustice 2 wiki to the point that I think Dan and I might have to pick up Injustice, speaking of fighting games. Except I hate DC. like, none of the characters really interest me, but that game really interests me.
Injustice is pretty, like, the cool thing about Injustice is that it's Mortal Kombat, basically, but it's not that violence stuff that I was talking about. It's instead, it's superheroes. And
it has a story.
I still, you know, I understand there's a DC versus Marvel thing. I don't get as into that argument, and I love Batman. So, you know, there's always going to be some of the stuff in DC that I'm like, into.
It's like
so.
A new Marvel fighting game.
I think Injustice is a solid
it's
franchise.
Good.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you feel about comic books and stuff. Like, a good game is still a good game.
I like,
you know,
all the character interactions, though, so it's pretty fun. And also, that game has my favorite ever version of Harley Quinn. Because she's still herself, but she's moved on.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, it's just been a lot of pinball lately because we just got The Shadow. And I've been perusing a few things on Steam, but I haven't really played anything yet. I need to get my stream set up done. I was trying to say I need to get my streaming stuff set up. So, I've been slacking. I'm just, you know, been a busy week.
Sure. It happens. All right. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
Didn't play a whole lot of games because I've been working on programming. So, I did play, well, my son's birthday was this week, so we bought him a gaming laptop for his birthday. Probably a big mistake, but whatever. So he has been playing games on there. So I did, while setting it up, check out, because I haven't played it, surprisingly enough, Octodad.
Oh, yeah.
That game is hilarious. So I got to play a little bit of that. But it's basically set in Minecraft and stuff for him with mods and everything. Man, Minecraft and mods have really come far, you know. Before, I remember trying to get controller support in Minecraft. It was a pain in the ass. Now they just have a mod that works with them. Like, geez, this is fucking easier than it was when I had to do this. So that's kind of cool. But really didn't play a whole lot other than Pokemon Go this week just because I can't get access to my TV, my brand new 4K TV, and my PlayStation Pro and my brand new copy of Horizon Zero Dawn that's literally had 2 minutes worth of playtime on it. So sad. So I haven't been playing any console games, unfortunately. I did install more Steam games because why not? Let's make that library bigger of stuff I'm never going to play. But I had a bunch of stuff. Like, I was digging through my Humble Bundle library because I was like, well, I need to get some keys to my son. So, because I gave him a Steam account. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to offload all these duplicate keys that I have, which I have like 50 duplicate keys. It's fucking ridiculous. So I was going through that and I'm like, wait a second. This is stuff I haven't I remember purchasing this and I didn't ever redeem it. So I've been going through that and just adding stuff to my library. So I'm like up to like 560. Maybe I'll play a game. I'll pick a game to play and
you
just
should.
Play through
you
it.
You should do that, especially when you're on a video gaming podcast. Playing some games is good.
But whatever. You know what? My motivation was I need to finish a fucking game. So everybody can stop saying, fake the fucking game.
I was going to, if you would let me finish my sentence before you... I was going to say, but I know you've been spending a lot of time trying to get back into Unity to write games.
Well, I've kind of left Unity. I'm back in Unreal now. So.
Sorry. But still, you're working on the thing that everybody criticizes you about. So I suppose you could be given some credit there. But play some more games.
I want to play more games.
All right. Anyway, let's see. My game of the week. To be fair, I haven't played a lot of new games because the game I've been still playing most of this week, No Man's Sky with the reboot. Like,
yes, exactly. I want to go back to that too.
Yeah, and honestly, I probably streamed that game like 3 times this week and been, yeah, just continuing my adventures in No Man's Sky. Learned a lot about multiplayer with how the weird syncing works, because I don't think it does server syncing. I think it's like peer-to-peer, because the only way I was able to see Bobby's base finally, which he built on the same planet that I built my base, he just built it like across the river, is that the only way we could do that is that he started a game, I joined his game, we met on the planet, and then I could see the base. And then it stayed, and it actually, Bobby doesn't know this part, it did stay behind so that when I played off stream and I went back to his base, I got the trophy for visiting a base basically alone.
It's weird though that you would think that we would just update. It's just like it hasn't refreshed.
Yeah, but there's
something.
No, like, there's no server talk or something.
But there should be. All that stuff's supposed to be persistent.
Well, here's the thing. I think I think maybe the game is very popular right now with the reboot, and I think a lot of that's struggling because I notice, like, every time I play the game, the little icon for naming services always is like, naming services are offline. Like, it's always offline. So I think the things that I'm naming don't get out
there. I didn't want to name this shitty planet anyway.
Exactly. Well, the funny thing that happened on one stream, and there's a clip of it over my Twitch channel, Rob Roberts. The funny thing that happened on a stream that really made me lose my shit, there was a planet that was like really icy and frozen. And so I was just joking like, oh, well, I'm going to name this planet Madonna because it's frozen because its heart's not open. Get it? So I tried to name the planet Madonna. And as soon as I hit enter for Madonna, it came up profanity filter. This name has been rejected by the profanity filter. I'm like, Madonna is a profane word. I can't name the planet Madonna. I'm like, who made this game? Lady Gaga? Like, what is, why can't I name a planet Madonna? So I had to name it the second-rate Madonna, Venus Delight, which, like, two listeners will understand that joke. So anyway, it wouldn't take Madonna. Now, I wonder if it's because Madonna, I mean, to be fair, does have biblical connotations to it. But still, like, I just found that very weird that it was in the...
It could be something like that, or it could be a phonetic filter. Or it could be like, you know, maybe there's...
Is Madonna
some...
a curse word in another language?
Maybe there's, like, I don't know.
Ah, go to Madonna.
I don't know.
Curse in another language? I don't know. Anyway, Tiger Claw says, maybe the game is preventing you to name planets as celebrities. It isn't doing a very good job because I have, let's see, I have planetary systems named Aisha Tyler, Beth Ditto, We Stan Robin. There's plenty of, I have a planet named Vanjie. I'm sure there's probably like 5,000 planets named Miss Vanjie or Vanjie or some commentation of, but you better believe I have a planet named Vanjie out there. So, I mean, you can name things after celebrities. Madonna's the first one where it said, nope. Oh, I don't know. Bobby Blackwolf trying to give some insight to what's going on, saying, it's persistent to new players, but once you've already visited a planet, it doesn't try to get new information. Interesting. So it's like it downloads the planet the first time you go, but then once you kind of like have your own version of it, it doesn't keep trying to grab it from the server, which might be part of how they try to reduce strain on the server, since we're not exactly playing or paying a monthly fee to do play the game online or anything. But I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it's not deal breaking for me because I kind of feel that multiplayer is sort of limited anyway. Like, the night that Bobby and I were kind of screwing around on stream, and Dungeon Buster was there too, and we were, like, looking at stuff on the planet, like, that was fun, but I don't think you could really play the whole game that way. Like, I'm not sure that would really work. Like, now we're at a point where, like, Bobby's kind of at one point in the story, I'm at one point in the story, and it's cool that we have this place to converge, and that's what I like, is that, oh, we have this world where we both have bases, so we can kind of, you know, I used Bobby's base to hide from Sentinels. Because just on the other side of the hill from Bobby, there was some stuff I was mining, some hydrogen crystals or something. And I actually mined so much of it because I have a new multi-tool that does it fast. So I mined so much of it that it pissed off the Sentinel. And I was like, oh, crap. And so it's like, follow me, follow me. So I ran into Bobby's base. And
the
it finally
worst fucking part of that game is the stupid fucking Sentinels. I hate that shit.
Yeah. Well, you can kill them, but it just...
But then it lets, you know.
But there's a lot of quests.
It keeps ramping up until you get, like, super death sentinels or whatever.
There's a lot of quests that want you to kill sentinels. Bobby Blackwell says, someone on Reddit tried to name planet Madonna a year ago. Well, I'm sure I'm not the first person in history to try to name something Madonna No Man's Sky. Like, you know, there's other 40-year-old gay guys that play this game, I'm sure. But still, like, it's just, it's the first time I'd heard of it.
I'm doing something that has nothing to do with video games tomorrow.
Dare I ask what? Is it worthy of mentioning on the show? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to see Sailor Moon Super subtitled in the theater tomorrow night.
Huh.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen the Mamma Mia sequel. I'm upset.
And Transformers the movie is going to be playing in theaters.
My wife saw the sequel. She said it wasn't that great.
Oh, I don't always agree with your wife, though. No offense. But I don't always agree with her opinion on movies and TV and stuff. So I'm going to see it anyway. It doesn't matter. Like, you could literally have 20 people tell me it's fucking garbage, and I'm still going to go see it.
She watched that movie Room on Netflix yesterday. Not The Room, but Room. Totally different.
Right, movie. No, the one that got nominated for an Oscar.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, so that was No Man's Sky. And then otherwise, I've also been continuing to play Pokemon Go. I'm two-thirds of the way through level 38 now. So I have 6 million XP to go before I'm capped in Pokemon Go. So the friends thing has been great for XP. Even though I'm really bad at sending and receiving gifts, when I do it, and I've really been trying to get my gifts out there. When I do it, like I've been hitting 10,000 XP bonuses like left and right because I'm getting up to 2 stars with people. And now I'm starting to hit 3 stars with some people. Like I hit 3 stars with you this week, Loki, right?
Yeah, that was actually right after the show.
That was 50,000 XP. Dark Soccer and I are like, we're probably going to hit it today. Like that it's hard to tell because it doesn't give you a numerical representation of how far along you are.
Yes, you can.
Oh, how?
So go into your friends thing.
I'm doing this right now.
So go into your friends and then go to whatever friend you want to look at.
Okay, so, well, I got to launch my game. You keep talking. I'll do this.
So you go to whatever friend you look at and you tap on the icon that shows the little circles and it'll tell you how many days away you are from reaching your next level.
I had no idea. Well, that makes it easier to know when to pop the stupid lucky egg. So let me go. So when I go to my friends list and I'm scrolling right now to find Dark Sakura. So she's down here. There she is. So okay.
So yeah, you tap on the thing.
Oh, play together for 2 more days to become ultra friends. So we won't hit it today. We'll hit it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yay.
Assuming I remember to open her gift after the show, but I will. So
that's how you know.
Okay. Good to know. So where am I? So there's one person above Dark Sakura that I'm almost. This is one of these guys that I played those online Survivor games with. So he is at 1 more day. So I will hit 3 stars with somebody today. So there is that. That's cool. How long do Loki and I have to go before we hit 4 stars?
Well, I have Magma Lemur, who is kind of the furthest along. He has 53 more days. So I have to accept your gift today.
So you and I have 56 more days to be BFFs.
Yes.
My strongest, whatever you want to call it, friend in the game is one of my friends in Toronto. 46 more days. So, but Kyle and I have traded every single day. Like, we have not missed a beat every single day. He's the first person I send a gift to every day just because he was the most regular out of everybody. So, we ended up being like the closest friends. So, that's Pokemon Go, Akuma JP. That's what we're talking about there. All right. But some of the listeners are close. ActDeft is number 2 on my list. And I think SG100 Matt is like number 4. Behind one of my local friends. So SG100 Matt and ActDeft are still above Shane on my list. Shane's at number like 6 or 7 on my list. So anyway, Pokemon Go, good times. Let's get into some other stuff. I want to get into some like housekeeping and announcements sort of thing. I do have like a personal announcement. So I changed my Twitter name after, God, I've been on Twitter. When did Twitter start? Like 2006. I've probably been on Twitter since 2006. And some of you told me not to give up my 4-letter name. But I did it. I switched my name on Twitter to Mr. Rob Roberts. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Mr. Rob Roberts. I just didn't feel as strong of a connection to the old name anymore, which I haven't really used regularly since the DDR days when I would enter in my high score with a 4-letter name. I think due to this show and other podcasts and things I've done.
So does that mean I have to friend you again or did you change?
No, because the good news about Twitter is that it just carries it all with you. So I didn't lose anybody.
Oh, that's good.
No, I wouldn't. Oh, my God. With being on the site that long, I would not want to build up from scratch again. No way. So I did it because everything carries with you. But here's the interesting thing. I tried to snag the old name right back, and I had 2 browsers waiting to go. So I made the change on the first browser, and then in the second browser, I had a new account ready to go to switch to Sky, my old name. I couldn't do it because it says you cannot have a Twitter name with less than 5 characters. So Twitter no longer lets you have short usernames. So at least the good news is nobody can have my old name, but the kind of crappy part is that I can't put a placeholder for all those old streams and old episodes of the show where I shouted out my old name. It's not going to work. So that part kind of sucks, but I'm trying to look forward, not backward. So at least my Instagram and my Twitter are unified now. And so like Snapchat and all that other crap, I'll probably try to unify so I have all that one name. So that'll be nice. So there it is. So that's my new Twitter name. Also, I want to quickly talk about Dragon Con. So we're not going to be here at the end of the month over Labor Day weekend because I'm going to be at Dragon Con. And I guess I can talk about this now because a lot of the panel schedules, or at least, you know, everything is tentative until the show shows up. But all the tentative stuff is now out there. I'm going to be doing 8 panels this year at Dragon Con. And I am really excited about it. That's a lot of panels, but I love doing panels. And part of the reason why I'm doing more panels at Dragon Con this year than years past is that not only is the Dragon Con podcasting track having me back, which I'm very thankful for, and I'm doing some pretty cool stuff with them, but also I will be working for the first time with the Dragon Con video gaming track. So if you've never been to if you've never been to Dragon Con, it's like 20 conventions all happening at once. They have all these different tracks that have full-time programming. And there's tracks for Star Trek, Star Wars, Whedonverse, British television, because from British Invaders, Brian is almost always doing stuff with that track. Gary from Critical Myth will probably be doing stuff with either the Trek track or the X track, which is some of like the sci-fi modern programming stuff. Like, I went to a Twin Peaks panel on the X track last year. So, I mean, There's all sorts of like stuff that all happens at once. So I'm working with 2 tracks this year, whereas every other year I've been to Dragon Con, I've been working with 1. So I'm very happy. Bobby, I really would not have been able to do it without Bobby, finally getting in touch with the gaming track and kind of pushing us to get on there. So I'm really excited about it. So let me tell you some of the panels I'm going to be doing. I'm going to run through this fast because there's a lot. So Friday at 10 a.m., I'm going to be doing a Mass Effect voice actors panel. Oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled about this one. Like, obviously, you know, I'm a professional, but at the same time, I'm going to fanboy a little bit about Mass Effect. So this Mass Effect voice actors panel, Mark Meer, who's the male voice of Shepard, the voice of Jack, the voice of Legion, all going to be on this panel. I'm really excited about that one. 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday, over with the podcasting track, going to be doing a panel on live broadcasting. I only have my short notes for my personal calendar here that I'm looking at. I'll give you the longer descriptions once the app is out, because I would encourage you to download the Dragon Con app if you're going to Dragon Con, because it's amazing. But there's a live broadcasting panel that I'm going to be part of, which, you know, I've been doing live broadcasting thanks to OLR for a little while. So we'll have a lot to say there. Also doing a podcast panel at 10 o'clock on Friday night. It is a like Shark Tank style panel for podcasters. That's like a pitch your podcast type of thing, and we'll give you immediate feedback. So I get to be the what's his name? The guy that owns the basketball team, Mark Cuban. I get to be the Mark Cuban of that panel. Actually, I don't know if I'll be the mean one. I don't know. We'll see. But when it comes to podcasting, I'm very hippy dippy and like everybody should do it. Everybody should be a podcaster. So maybe I won't be the Mark Cuban. Saturday is going to be very busy for me, but I'm very excited. 1 o'clock Eastern over the Westin. I'm going to be doing a Five Nights at Freddy's sister location live playthrough with voice actors from the game. Sorry, I'm not the one playing the game because that would have been a recipe for disaster. But that's going to be really fun. Right after that is done, I have to run back over to the hotel where the podcast panel is doing a broadcasting in podcasting type of thing, which I believe, again, I only have my short notes here. I believe that is a panel about some like the streaming and doing like, you know, again, kind of like live performance stuff. 4 o'clock Eastern, back at the Westin. So I'm literally running back and forth that day. There's a Twitch 101 panel. So they're going to have an engineer from Twitch that's actually going to be there. And I will be moderating kind of like a, how do you do Twitch? Why should you do Twitch? You know, kind of all about Twitch, like a Twitch discussion. That'll probably be also a great networking panel, because I imagine a lot of Twitch streamers, probably small up-and-comers that go to Dragon Con will probably be there wanting to network. So I'll be right there networking with y'all. And then back on the podcasting track at 7 o'clock Saturday night, a panel on social media. So getting on Twitter, Instagram, all the new stuff. There's stuff I haven't even heard of. I learned about an app called Anchor, which is really big for podcasters, thanks to a panel like this last year. So that will be a lot of fun. So that is on Saturday. And then I'm not done yet. Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to be doing an Overwatch voice actors panel. I am really excited about this and so thankful to the gaming track staff for letting me, trusting me with this. So the voice actresses behind Mercy, D.Va, and Symmetra will be there. And it's going to take everything in my power to not ask the question, how does it feel to be gay icons, all of you? Because honestly. I know a lot of gay Overwatch players, and they all play D.Va, Mercy, and Symmetra. So that's going to be fun. I'm really excited about that panel. So I think that's it. Did I hit all eight? I think I did. If I didn't, then I haven't put it in my calendar yet, which is probably not a good sign. But I will pick that up. I feel like I'm missing one from the podcast track. No, I have them all. That was eight. It's busy. It's going to be busy. But I'm really excited. I'm so if you're going to be at Dragon Con, find me in the app once they get it listed. I will be under attending professionals, so you can find me, Rob Roberts, and you'll be able to see my whole schedule right there in the app. And please come by. Please don't be shy. Come up and say hello at any of the panels. If your goal is to just say hi to me, I would say go to the ones on the podcasting track, just for the fact of the matter is the room is smaller for podcasting. You can imagine these voice actor panels are going to be pretty big, so they'll be using bigger rooms, so it'll be easier to kind of talk to me after one of these other panels. But I am really, really, really excited about this. And in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, SSJ100 Matt says, contact Rob through his agent, Mr. Smush. Yes, if you would like to. MXC says, I wish I were going to DragonCon. I would love to check out these panels. Hopefully the podcasting track will do a streaming thing. I know they've done that in years past. They live stream some of it, but I know that was also hit and miss as in regards to like the quality and stuff. And so I don't know if they're still doing it, but cross your fingers and your toes, okay? Some of them get posted to YouTube too. So we'll see. Anyhow, that's my Dragon Con schedule. So I hope to see many of you Labor Day weekend in Atlanta. So enough about me. Let's get to some more gaming news. Loki, what's going on in the world of video gaming this week?
The world of video gaming is full of Bitcoin mining and all sorts of garbage. So, yes, apparently someone snuck a game onto Steam. I should say snuck because, well, it was accepted on the Steam, but they snuck a cryptojacking program in there as well. So the game was called Abstractism, and basically what was happening is that they were noticing that the game is very minimal looking, but for some reason their CPUs and GPUs were taxing from the game. And so people started, you know, wondering, well, is this a virus? I mean, what's going on? And so apparently after looking through the game, they found out that, oh, hey, it's a cryptocurrency miner. So it did end up getting pulled off of Steam thanks to Valve.
Yeah, think?
Once it was pointed out, but the developer, of course, says, you know, Abstractism doesn't mine any cryptocurrency. Probably you are playing on high graphics settings because they take a bit of CPU and GPU power for the post-processing effects rendering. Yeah, except the game apparently found that, you know, running on a virtual machine, that the resource usage is unrelated to graphical rendering, as it persisted even when the game is not being rendered or being rendered by a separate GPU. So it was a big old scam, and it got removed. Basically, they said they removed Abstractism and banned its developer from Steam for shipping with unauthorized code, trolling, scamming.
Yeah, how much money did he make first, though? Like, how much Bitcoin was he able to mine because of this?
Probably not much. If
haven't
anything.
They mined all the Bitcoin by now? Isn't that well dry?
It's harder to do it now, and I don't think that they would have. I mean, this thing looks like it's drawn like with a pencil. I mean, it's very minimalistic, so
can't
imagine.
Well, because it's trying to use your processor to
mine
Bitcoin.
I can't imagine that there'd be any it just doesn't seem very processor intensive. So I definitely bullshit, but whatever. So at least that's done. And then, you know, there's
more garbage on the Steam store because they barely moderate it. What a shock.
Yes. Well, speaking of more garbage on the Steam store. Oh, so
boy.
There's an issue with fake items, dummy items, masquerading as Team Fortress 2 or Dota 2 rarities. And so what they're doing is apparently people are sneaking games onto Steam again as called something else. But they use like an icon or items that look exactly like the items that are in Team Fortress 2 or Dota 2. So when you're looking at them on, you know, the boards to swap stuff, when you're going through that and trying to buy these rare items, you may notice that they look the same, and so you might purchase it by mistake. So apparently they're saying that, you know, we started requiring approval for app name changes. So, yeah, what would happen is they'd put it up like, you know, my game is dumb shit you know, platformer 2, and then once you get in there, I'm going to change my name to Team Fortress 2 now, just after it's already on there, and you know, fuck with shit. So basically, so that we started requiring approval for app name changes and have more planned to address this sort of problem and that we couldn't get done in one day. We're hoping to have to dismiss two warning dialogues be sufficient to make people think twice about trades containing forged items, but this is not the end of our response. We'll continue to monitor, of course. I just got to think, you know, with this whole, like, crap that goes on.
The Steam store is messy. It is messy.
Remember how crappy, or, like, I didn't think it was that crappy to begin with, Steam Greenlight. I'm kind of wishing we had Steam Greenlight again, because this is bullshit.
I do, too. I just think a lot of changes the store's made in the past few years, it's just, it's mess. It's a mess.
And
it's fine if you want to go grab, like, if you know that, like, Civ 6 is out, and you know exactly where you're going to get it and all stuff, but as far as, like, discovering all that, it's mess.
You know, the whole process before, like, I think the getting rid of the Steam Greenlight was, well, we just don't really want to vet this stuff anymore, and it's like, well, we can make a lot more money if everybody is, you know, able to pay us $100 to put any game up, but they thought $100 would be a barrier to entry for anybody to put stuff up on the store, but it's not.
It's not.
Barrier whatsoever. And I think as terrible as Greenlight was, I kind of wish it was back because it's even worse now.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, SG100 Matt brings up, at least when YYR made a game about shit, he stuck to it and didn't change it. Well, you know, speaking of a different game that YYR made, you know, it's in my opinion, it is still a crime that Super Multitasking is not like an all-star game that everybody is talking about. Like, and it's because Steam is such a mess, that game probably never gets featured, unfortunately. It's probably really hard to stick out amongst, you know, it's just hard to hear about these like apps or these games that are secretly Bitcoin miners and shit when it's like, you know, there's gems out
or
there like Super Multitasking
that are put up on there where they're like, you can't pass the first level, where it's just like absolute basic stuff is broken.
Yeah.
Or the Steam executable executable for the game is not included with it or something ridiculous.
Raginator does point out Greenlight was abused a good percentage of the time. Essentially, we'll give you this $10 game for free if you upvote it on Greenlight.
I understand that it was, you know, it was abused, but this is far worse now. Now, you know, where they don't have to go through that whole step of like trying to get people to upvote it. Now it's just, I'm just going to literally shit into the marketplace. You know, sometimes it could be one game that they've cloned like 5 or 6 times under different names, and they'll just throw that shit up on there. I don't know.
All right. Well, anyhow, let's move on and talk about, you know, when Steam becomes such a mess, you might turn to other ways to get your games, like piracy. Don't pirate games. You shouldn't do that. Because A,
all the time,
you need to support developers. And B, you can get banned from your Nintendo system from doing it. We talked already about the Switch and how the Switch had made this change where it's getting a little better at detecting pirated software and basically banning your Nintendo account. Well, guess what happened this week? The 3DS also got a firmware update. That's right. The firmware update that came out this week on the 3DS, which a lot of people are paying attention to this week because that new WarioWare game, which I still need to grab, the WarioWare Gold, because I guess it does have new stuff as well as like old stuff. So I'm in if there's new stuff. So the new WarioWare game came out on 3DS, so everybody's checking it out, but they have to update their firmware to do it. 3DS firmware update implements this same feature that will detect a pirated game, and if it senses you running it, you will have your Nintendo account and your system banned because you're a dirty, filthy pirate. So, at least in Nintendo's eyes. Not my words, theirs. No. Anyway, all seriousness, that is something that Nintendo is really trying to push against. Very interesting to see Nintendo ramp up a lot of these efforts recently between not just the Switch firmware, but the 3DS firmware. And we had that story about the ROM sites last week, so it'll be interesting to see what continues. But I know. What y'all really want to see is, okay, if they're shutting down all this stuff about the classic games, where's their solution for the Switch already? Which hopefully we will finally know about in the coming months, but who knows? I feel like I've been saying that like a broken record for a couple years, so we will see. Meanwhile, other big, big things in gaming. Dark Sakura.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, wing.
Well, parents want their children to be successful, don't you think? Good parents do. So
I would hope so, yeah.
So there are parents who are hiring video game tutors to teach their kids how to be good at Fortnite and other games. It was reported by the Wall Street Journal that there are families who have hired tutors to help them get better at video games, charging over $50 an hour for the service, so that they will be able to attend schools, scholarships, or get scholarships at schools that offer incentive to gamers that join tournament teams. And so these parents are investing in their video game skills.
I don't see a problem with this, but this is basically, if you were to kind of draw parallels with like any sports type stuff, like football. Like,
yep.
It's like people trying to get, go professional with football and stuff, and, training people that way. I mean,
used to have a private tutor for saxophone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever they want to use their money on, as long as they're teaching their kids as well that, listen, you have to have a strong education foundation, but this might help you get in the door as well. But if this doesn't work out, have this to rely on as well. I mean, there's no problem with if you can get in a football scholarship and go to a really nice school, more power to you. But you gotta have the grades to back that up, too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I don't hate this news, and I'm not going to make fun of it. Like, if this is something a parent wants to spend money on for their kid, go for it. And that answer might surprise you guys, because I see a lot of talk on social media kind of, like, poo-pooing this news about, LOL, what kind of parent would hire a tutor for a video game for their kid and all that stuff. But you gave the exact same example I was going to give, is that people do it for football,
baseball.
People do it for competitive sports all
pageantry.
The time. Why not? So
singing.
You can't.
How many people hire singing coaches because their son or daughter is going to be the next American Idol or something?
Yes and no. I'm going to separate the arts a little bit differently from competitive sports. I don't want to draw direct parallels. Like, even though Dark Soccer said a saxophone tutor and stuff, maybe this is just because I grew up band nerd, but I do still feel there is a difference with tutoring in the arts, and that is a very different bubble from this. But this is not the first time I've heard of tutors being hired for competitive sports, and that's what Fortnite is. It's a competitive sport. You can't make fun of this, in my opinion. You can't make fun of this and then in the same breath go, but I don't understand why ESPN won't show e-gaming sports. The future is here, people. ESPN is showing that type of stuff now. The Overwatch League is pushing this ceiling that video games have had when it comes to competitive sports higher and higher. And not just Overwatch League. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. But look at Evo getting more and more mainstream stuff and other gaming things as well. As our generation, the Generation X and the Millennials and the Zillennials, or you know what I mean, though. The
Zennials,
excuse me. But you know what I mean? The generations that are our age, as we all grew up with video games, and as we are getting older and we are making the purchasing decisions for the households and so forth, this is that natural step, is that that type of stuff is now, like, Overwatch is as much a competitive sport to enjoy watching as bowling or the other stuff they show on
ESPN.
Maybe
you should compare it with bowling, because bowling's kind of boring.
But Loki, in all seriousness, it depends on who you are. Like, I've known people that were like competitive bowlers. He kind of turned out to be a jerk, though. But I mean, I have known people that do that stuff. And if that's what you're into, then cool. You know what I mean? Fine. As long as you're not hurting anybody. Right. So, but anyway, I don't hate this story as long as, and I think Dark Sakura kind of references too, as long as the kid is going outside, getting fresh air, getting vitamin D, interacting with other kids, doing the other things, then honestly, I see no difference between this and football coaching, except the fact that, yes, football coaching is more physical in nature, but Fortnite is mental, I suppose, is mental activity.
Chess coaching.
And I'm not, chess coaching. And I'm not saying hold that kid up inside all day. Let the kid go outside and play in the mud. That's what kids do, Let the kid go outside and play in traffic. No, just kidding. Don't do that. But you know what I mean? Let them go outside and be kids too. I'm sure there are going to be stage parent horror stories in Fortnite. But again, all these other things we named have them too.
Well, the other thing that's kind of unique about Fortnite and like other games of the like are they're probably not going to be around forever either. I mean, just because Fortnite's popular right now, next year could be a whole nother game. So don't get necessarily focused on one game. Just become better at gaming altogether.
Okay, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, I remember when people were looking for tutors when Age of Empire was huge. So it's always something. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, I hope those tutors are teaching kids to be good people online as well. I also hope the tutor teaches the kids how to properly balance gaming, school, work, and other real life things as well. Well, I would hope good sportsmanship is a part of that tutor, because this may shock you guys. You may not know this about me, but when I was a kid, I played soccer for many years. Apparently, I was pretty good at being a goalie. So I did soccer from the time I was like 5 until probably I left it behind to join band when I was 12. So I played soccer for a very long time. And a good coach is going, as I had many coaches during those years when I played soccer, a good coach is going to teach you about good sportsmanship. And that, you know, when you lose a game, you don't fucking like yell at the other team and stuff. You still shake their hand and say good game. So again, a similar parallel to what already exists in our society when it comes to other sports and things like that. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Some other comments. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, I watched a competitive cornhole tournament a few weeks ago. You know, the game you play at tailgates where you throw the bag into the hole. It was on ESPN, not 2 or the Ocho. No, that is a legit thing. I was at a bar last week. I was actually convinced to go to a straight bar, which doesn't always happen, but I went, and that was, they were playing that cornhole game. And that wasn't the first time I'd heard about it either, because I actually was looking into this whole thing where, like, locally they have these different sports leagues. So I found it on Reddit. Somebody was asking about things to do in town on Reddit, and somebody suggested, like, well, if you want to meet people, this sports league is really popular, and I don't remember the name of it, but it basically, like, they have the stuff you would expect to see, like, a neighborhood softball. I don't think you do baseball. But softball team, or maybe it's t-ball, one of those things. Or a neighborhood bowling is always a big thing with that. But they actually had, like, you know, a cornhole thing. And I was like, what the fuck is cornhole? And I actually did. And then it was, like, not even, like, a few days after reading that on Reddit, then I actually saw people playing it at this bar. And I was like, oh, they're playing that game I was reading about, which is you throw a bag into a hole, and it's not... Like, the sport exists.
Beanbag toss.
Basically. So that sport exists for people that maybe they just want to be there for the social aspect and, you know, play a game that's less strenuous, I suppose, than maybe something like ice hockey. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, golf. It's kind of, well, I don't know. You do
golf
walk.
Could be,
you do walk a lot in golf. You have to,
unless you know you don't.
True, true. It's true. All right. Bobby Blackwell says it's huge at tailgating. Yes, it's a branded beanbag toss. It sure is. I'm pretty sure this thing I was looking at the bar was one of the beer companies was sponsoring it. So that's a thing. So anyhow, there you go. Wow, all these different talks on sports, all because of tutors and Fortnite. But Fortnite is just that big of a deal right now. It's the game of the moment. You know. So.
Yes.
All right. I guess the one element, and then I promise we'll move on. The one element, though, is that you also don't, like, have, even though I'm not, like, laughing at this news and saying this is stupid, like, at the same time, you don't have to hire a tutor. Just play Fortnite a lot. And if you're a parent, get involved with your kid playing Fortnite. Watch them. Cheer them on, support them, help them notice some of the things on the screen maybe they're missing.
Like, well, I think that these parents are doing that because that's why they're doing the tutoring, is because they are playing with them and they want them to be better. I don't know.
I just hope it's not like
kids and whatever.
They want them to get good.
Yeah, you brought up the pageant thing, and you know a lot of kids get involved in those pageants because it's, you know, mom living out her fantasies.
I don't think, though, that, like, I mean, I'm sure that there's some instances where, like, you know, somebody might be convincing someone to play something, but yeah. I think it's just more like encouraging them with what they want. They see, you know, it's just like my son, like, he wants to be a YouTuber because he watches YouTubers. It's like if someone's watching Twitch streamers of, you know, Fortnite players, they're gonna want to be a Fortnite player because that's what they watch, is what they want to do. So you just have to support them, and then eventually they'll either stick with it or they'll grow out of it. I wanted to be in construction and engineering. My wife would have preferred if I went into engineering. I did not go into engineering because
this is a struggle that lasts until college, okay? I went to college, and originally I was doing computer science, and I hated it. And then I got into I was going to be a weatherman on TV. And I interned at a CBS station in the town where I went to school and all this stuff. And as much as like I learned a lot from the experience, I also learned from that experience, this is absolutely not what I want to do. Like, now that I've seen the reality of what goes into, I do not want to do this.
You don't want to go stand in a hurricane?
It's a lot more depressing.
My friend's dad is actually a hurricane chaser.
Yeah. It's just, and that's, you know, I'm not going to bash the people that do it. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, I realized I don't have the strength and the self esteem to handle something like that.
You know what my original major was before I changed it to Japanese?
Hmm.
Forensic geology.
Oh, wow. That's kind of cool.
And I decided rocks are boring.
But at the same time, like, A, the day job that I do have as a corporate trainer, like, I love it. It's awesome. And I feel like, you know, cool. I found this not through school, but through working my way up into it. And that's awesome. And B, you know, it's not that the broadcasting stuff I learned in college went completely to waste. Because, look, here we are. Like, you know, and I can say, quote, I'm using my quotey fingers, I built this, obviously, with Jamie and Loki, but I can still look at it and go, as opposed to, like, you know, something where it was had to be done on somebody else's terms, reporting to somebody else, and ratings, and all this other stuff, I can look at this and go, but no, we have this, and this is something that I helped build, and we do it by our rules, you know what I mean?
But I do wish we had the ratings.
Well... You know what? There came a point a long time ago where I just kind of realized if that was going to happen, it would have happened, and it hasn't, but that's okay. You know what, though, Loki? But, like, there's that, but at the same time, like, you know, it's taken a long time, but, like, the fact that I'm doing these panels at Dragon Con,
that's true,
is pretty amazing. Not everybody gets to do that. So, like, I'm thankful for that. I'm super thankful. Okay, so I'm not PewDiePie, but who would want to be him? He's an asshole. You know what I mean? Like... With the spotlight can also come a lot of that negativity of where everything you do is scrutinized type of thing. You know, maybe not the best name for me to throw out there because he deserved to be scrutinized for some of those things that he did. But you know what I mean? Like, I also really like my privacy. Like, you know, sure, Sunday night we do this show. We have our small little audience. I love you guys. We're a great little family here on Sunday nights and so forth. And throughout the week with the podcast feed. I don't want to leave you guys out either. That's all fantastic. But y'all are nice and respectful of my privacy. I like that. You know what I mean? I'm not, knock on wood, I'm not getting death threats. And unfortunately, that's some of the stuff that comes with getting bigger. When we were at our peak, when iTunes first launched podcasting and we were one of only a handful of video game podcasts, the day that iTunes launched podcasting in the store, we did have to taste a little bit of that unfortunate side. Like people at Dark Soccer, you got it worse than anyone because unfortunately, yeah, you're a girl gamer.
And fuck all those idiots. I don't give a shit what they think.
Well, guess what? You're still here. Where are they?
And they're not.
They're not.
They have their kids and they've been punished.
Guess who doesn't have kids?
Anyway, let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, hey, at least you're not interviewing Billy Mitchell. Bobby Blackwolf has seen his variety.
I would totally want to interview him I don't give a shit about him, and that's the best kind of mentality to have.
That's why you don't get to interview him.
Come on.
Here's the thing.
I ask the hard-hitting questions. Remember? Konami? Jason Enos?
Here's the thing. As much as Bobby has kind of taken a few licks over that whole interview and the article and everything, at the same time, it is a perfect example of all publicity is good publicity because it did get – now Bobby gets to say, as seen on Variety, Bobby gets to say he was at that infamous panel with Billy Mitchell. Bobby got invites to other shows he probably wouldn't have been a part of if he hadn't done that.
Because
he got that
shows.
Publicity. You know what I mean? So he's growing his own networking from that. So, I mean, yes, was it probably difficult for him in some ways? I'm sure it was to read some of that negativity and stuff. But at the same time, I still think he's emerged from that whole experience bigger as a name than he was before. So, anyway. Let's see. Other comments in chat at live.vognetwork.com. This is depressing. I hate to interrupt. There's horrible dead celebrity news. You ready for this, Dark Sakura? Ah.
I dropped my phone. The guy that played Cornelius Fudge died?
No, this is worse.
That he did, though.
This is worse.
What?
Charlotte Ray, also Mrs. Garrett on The Facts of Life and Different Strokes, passed away, but 92.
Well, he was also 92.
Yeah, so, I mean, bless her heart. So, that's unfortunate. And y'all know I grew up on The Facts of Life.
Well,
I saw a lot of myself in Joe. I don't know what it was, but I...
Betty White sacrifices yet another to take her place. So,
all right. Anyhow, well, rest in peace, Charlotte Ray, who, of course, I loved The Facts of Life growing up. So that's depressing. Anyway, let's move on. We do have some more video game news. More Fortnite stuff, right, Logie?
Yes. So Fortnite will not be coming to your neighborly Google Play Store. Because they take 30% of the in-app purchases for games sold through their storefront. And as Epic would put it, the 30% tax is a high cost in a world where game developers, 70% must cover all of the cost of game developing, operating, and supporting their games. And this is from Tim Sweeney. And basically saying that what they're going to do instead is they're going to maintain a direct relationship with their consumers. They're going to have a standalone installer for the Android version of the game, which, you know, being that they are on that platform and, you know, to the benefit, I guess, of Android users, that it's an open marketplace. So you don't have to use the Google Play Store if you don't want to, unlike Apple and their closed marketplace where they have to go through that. They can, I guess, do that. So... Well, I guess it's a good way to get around the 30%.
Yeah, right?
I mean, it's
kind of diabolical
in some
ways.
It's not like, you know, yeah, I mean, because they're a big enough game where it's like, we can do whatever the fuck we want. We don't need your fucking advertising.
We're Fortnite, bitch.
We're Fortnite, bitch, yeah. Exactly.
All right. So. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwell says, the worry here is that everyone has to turn on developer tools to sideload the app. And that leaves a lot of unprotected phones for malware. People like Loki and I already have that turned on, but you are potentially exposing your phone to other threats by doing that, especially when we're talking about that there are kids that play Fortnite, as we just heard in the last story.
Yeah.
So that is an unfortunate side effect to all that. So hopefully Epic will kind of have some responsibility in kind of educating people, since they are going around the store and they are such a big game, on how to like prevent from... getting malware and that stuff on your phone. Or maybe can you open it and then close it? Can you open it, grab the game, then close it? Does that work?
Right, but then
I don't have Android. I have iPhone.
Yes, so. Anytime you push something to it, though, they, like updates and stuff, they may need to do it again. But I don't know. It's hard to say how they're going to have it set up. They could have it where they just install it and then it installs other supplemental files without permissions. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's shift gears here a little bit and talk about some BioWare news. And y'all know that I've been a little salty when it comes to things BioWare because of what happened with Mass Effect. Yeah, I know Jamie's right there with me. But some interesting comments in a new blog from Casey Hudson, who's the boss at BioWare now, who, of course, was, you know, the big name behind the Mass Effect trilogy. Interesting, in the Midsummer update, he went on to say, "We hear loud and clear the interest in BioWare doing more Dragon Age and Mass Effect. So rest assured that we have some teams hidden away working on some secret stuff that I think you'll really like. We're just not ready to talk about it for a little while."
Will we get our Quarian DLC for Andromeda, please?
Sadly, I don't think that's going to happen. What about the remaster? Do you think that might kind of... The other thing I was thinking of is that, you know, that thing that I thought would have happened between Mass Effect 3 and Andromeda, a multiplayer mode spinoff. Basically, because the multiplayer mode in Mass Effect is pretty darn good. I think 3 was a little better than Andromeda's, but Andromeda's wasn't bad by any means. So it would be interesting if maybe they expanded on that with another multiplayer game, which would certainly meet all of the soul-sucking EA needs of microtransactions and loot boxes and all that shit. Whatever. You could do enough in those games without ever buying a single treasure box. You could if you wanted to. I know sometimes we did with leftover currency and what have you from Origin, but... I mean, at the end of the day, you could do a lot in those games without buying the dumb boxes. So, I don't know. What do you think, Jamie? Do you think they're maybe working on a full new Mass Effect game? Or do you think maybe it's some silly side story or what?
I have no idea, as long as it's just not fucking Anthem.
And not a mobile phone game. If it's a mobile phone game, fuck right off. Now, Mass Effect Mobile was very good when it was like the galaxy map thing that interacted with the game. That was cool. But if it's like, oh, we've got this brand new Mass Effect game, but it's a mobile fuck off. Just don't please.
I don't know if you will
please
see,
don't let me near that announcement.
I don't know if we'll see microtransactions in a new Mass Effect game just because they're making so much off of their sports game titles. Because I don't know if you read this week, there was some guy that was in Europe that request part of their new law or whatever the privacy laws, they can request information from any company that's collecting data on them to see what kind of data they have.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at his purchases for FIFA, the boxes and stuff. He spent over 16,000 euro in the last 2 years on that stuff because he has that kind of, you know, this expendable income. But
I never want to see my receipts from Pokemon Go. I never want to see how much I've spent on Pokemon Go because I will be so upset and mad.
But like, that's, you know, if they're making 16,000 off of one person.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that is an outlier.
Mm-hmm.
They're making bank. And so they don't need to put it never the save face in some of the other games. But I don't know. It's still sickening.
All right. Well, let's move on with some more news about some things we know are happening based on footage. Right, Jamie?
Yes. I'm sure our Persona fans will be super thrilled with this. The next RPG that's coming out is Persona Q2 New Cinema Labyrinth. They just had a new trailer come out that released some details. So cast from past three of the mainline games are going to be coming in. It actually has a little chibi version of the Persona 5 Phantom Thieves, so it fits the whole style. And then there are going to be new characters thrown into it as well. They also showed that you can have the party made up of three main protagonists. And that you can also see the Persona 3 protagonist casting a spell with Persona 5 style graphics. And so it's just interesting stuff. But I'm sure all of our Persona fans are going to be completely thrilled about this. Of course, as we know, Persona is a spinoff of the Shin Megami Tensei game. So enjoy.
I wish I got more into the Persona games. Like, I they have their fans, and they love them, but I'm just, oh my god, it's so many hours of game. You know what I mean? Like,
I have some of the Saturn ones that I got off Etsy not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't played any of them.
Speaking of Shin Megami Tensei, I was told that there is a new mobile phone game, Shin Megami Tensei Liberation DX2, that's now available, and that we should check that out. So...
Make it so.
Maybe I will. I will do that. All right. Let's move on. Talk about a few more stories before we get to the classic peripheral of the month. Loki.
Hey, there's a new console coming. I bet you didn't expect that. But this is a console that's not from one of your normal console makers. This is actually a collaboration between AMD and a Chinese company called Zhongshan Sabur. And they're creating a custom console hardware for the Chinese market. Now, spec-wise, it's kind of similar to like a PlayStation 4 Pro. It's going to be using Ryzen as well as it's basically a system on a chip that's Ryzen and the RX Vega. And it's going to, you know, like I said, spec-wise, it's pretty similar to the PlayStation Pro. They've got 8 gigs of GDDR5. They're saying that the they're not using DDR4 RAM. But it's basically going to be similar to the setup of the PlayStation 4. The system on the chip, they've got 24 compute units, 1.3 gigahertz for 3.99 teraflops of GPU power. So, and I got to say, though, they do have a picture of what the console looks like. And it is sexy looking. But I'm kind of curious to see, though, what the hell this is going to be used for. Because such a powerful console, what's going to be on it?
Well, unfortunately, it's not a PlayStation 4, but the good news is it's just going to be copies of PS4 games.
well, they did say...
I'm kidding.
They did say, though, they're also going to release the console. There's going to be a version of the console that's just a computer, like a PC.
Oh, okay.
But they're going to have actual games for it, though. But I'm kind of curious to see what this is. I mean, be kind of curious to find out what's going to be running on this thing.
Yeah, you always wonder, like, is there going to be, like, a big game that's on one of these consoles where it's like, man, I want to play that. Like, bring that out over here.
Yeah. So check it out and see what the pricing is and go from there, I guess. Well, the wait.
In chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Rama says, hold up, Ryzen? Bro, that's leaps and bounds over PlayStation 4 Pro. Tiger Glass says, I've been hearing a lot about those Ryzen CPUs. They are powerful, but not as powerful as Intel, those. And here's the thing. Like, again, though, the whole golden rule of gaming, though, is the system is only as good as the games that are on it. But you did open the door there with the whole, but they have this, like, PC type of build that, you know, that makes it a little bit different, I suppose. But otherwise, like, it could have all the teraflops at once. If the games are shitty, it's not going to matter. You know what I mean? So
right.
Hopefully
I, yeah,
some good games.
I have no idea, because, I mean, China is just getting into, like, the console market.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, up into quite recently, they were banned from being over there. So it is kind of curious to see that we may have, like, another contender. And
yeah,
that's kind of funny because, like, even, like, in the mobile space now, we've got contenders, like, for mobile phones that are these Chinese companies that no one's ever heard of. And all of a sudden, like, oh, hey, these phones fucking kick ass.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see what happens out of this.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see when maybe some games get announced for this. Who knows? A game that has been announced that I know a lot of us are excited to play is Pokemon Let's Go, the upcoming Switch spinoff game that kind of combines the traditional Pokemon RPG with some of the features from the Pokemon Go mobile game. Apparently, there's going to be a big change when it comes to shinies, because you will be able to see shinies on the map. But it's not quite as easy as necessarily like, oh, there is a Pikachu that is a slightly darker brownish type of color. That's not quite how it works. What it is basically a shiny Pokemon doesn't look different than other Pokemon in the overworld when it appears, but a small glimmer, an aura, gives a player a chance to know that the Pokemon they're looking at is shiny. So it is kind of a little bit of a little hint maybe that this Pidgey's a little bit special. It's got something that might be a little different. Which, again, when it comes to shiny Pokemon, at least in most of the games, especially in Go, it means literally nothing. It's a different color. That's it. It's a different color that's much more rare than the standard one.
So does it mean anything in the other games, too?
Well, we don't know about Pokemon Let's
Go.
Well,
like, in the other games.
No, not the new ones. I think in the old, like, Gen 2 or Gen 3. And, chat, correct me if I'm wrong. But I want to say there was something about the stats with shinies would be a little bumped. But I don't think they continued that in the more recent games. That kind of went away. So now it's just, oh, they're just a slightly different color and they're real, really rare. But that doesn't mean people don't obsess about collecting them. Obviously, we've all joked about our friend Shane, who used to do the Pokemon Pokestop podcast here at Vogue Network. It loves to collect shinies. And that's what he does. He, by the way, he does this in Go as well. He collects shinies in Go. Why? Because they're shiny.
When you trade people shinies, do they stay shiny?
They stay shiny, but they won't keep the stats.
That's fine.
Just like any other Pokemon when you trade them. And it can be very expensive to trade a shiny that you don't have if you're not at least 3-star friends with the other person. If you're only like at 1-star, it's a 1,000,000 Stardust to get a new shiny in your decks. So anyway, looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see. I guess there's still comments on the system. They're having arguments about who makes the better chipsets in there. So Fifth Dream says it just tells what stats they have, but they're not even great stats. So SG100 Matt says, yep, Gen 1 through 3 stats were better in the early games. Now they're just color variants. Yeah, that's what I kind of thought was the case there. Anyway, November 16th, you can start to collect shinies and more in Pokemon Let's Go. I know I'm very much looking forward to that game.
Yeah, the game does look awesome. I'm very excited for it. I haven't really played any actual mainline Pokemon games, so it'd be very interesting to check it out.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? We have, like, I don't think we're talking about, but in a couple weeks, I want to say that the rumor is that there's going to be some sort of Evolution Fest in Gen 4 in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that rumor's been circulating for a bit.
I've been stockpiling candy just because I don't want to evolve this crap that I have.
Yeah, like an evolution event that would introduce some of the Gen 4 Pokemon. I know that's something. I know there's a lot of rumors about PvP because I guess something came out of one of the Ingress events that happened last weekend. There was an interview with a Niantic representative at the Poland event. Warsaw was one of the sites for an anomaly. And there was an interview with a Niantic rep there who said basically flat out that they're trying to get PvP done this year. So that's something that's like the next big thing for Pokemon Go. But it's with every gen that's hit the game, something huge hit with it. Like Gen 3 gave us the weather boosting. Gen 2 was that the gym redesign when Gen 2 hit?
Maybe.
I think so. So maybe Gen 4 is going to be PvP. I don't know. So we'll see. I mean, the friends list was already kind of a big freaking change to the game and the gifting and all that stuff. So I don't know. All right. Anyhow, let's go to a more classic time in gaming. When you couldn't collect any shinies, they didn't exist. It's the classic peripheral of the month, because once a month, Dark Sakura mixes it up a bit and not only says, here's a game that you should be checking out, but hey, here's a little peripheral, something that helps you play games that you may have never heard of. And this one is, very much...
And it's not even playing a game, really.
Yeah, this is an interesting one you picked this month, but I like it. What is the classic peripheral of the month?
I picked, as it was known in the U.S., the Singer Isaac Sewing Machine for Game Boy. Yes, for Game Boy. In Japan, it was released as the Jaguar JN100, which was about $600 when it was released. I just picked general Game Boy music.
Game Boy music. That's fine.
So anyway, it was a sewing machine that would hook up to a Game Boy cartridge that was called a Rakuraku Machine, which is... sewing machine is what it was called. And we actually got this in the U.S. because they marketed this in the U.S. as the Singer Isaac for Game Boy. There's sites that are selling them for about $400. You can get a full Jaguar Nintendo sewing machine for $1,400 on eBay, by the way. I just happened to double check a finished auction on it. But anyway, with the game Rakuraku Machine, it had different embroidery patterns that you could create on there, and then you would save them, plug the cartridge in on the sewing machine, and it would do the embroidery for you. And as this, kept going, they actually did other versions of this machine in Japan. Now, of course, we got the one, the Isaac, but the other ones that came out overseas... were different models. There was the JN2000 that had an improved model that used a different external embroidery attachment, and it was very quick. There were other games that came out that would use this embroidery attachment, including one called Mario Family, which was a game where it had just different Mario... I would probably say Mario World era, because it was Game Boy Color stuff. So that would let you do different kinds of embroidered patterns. They tested a Kirby one. There is video of it in use on the Kirby one that you could... they only showed it at one of the Consumer Electronics shows in Japan. The other thing, too, is that this machine would also do... text. It would do kanji, I think up to 500 characters. Hiragana, katakana, and romaji, which is English letters. And then, of course, there were no follow-ups past that. It was pretty popular with some of the niche market. In the U.S., people were like, oh, this is cool, but there wasn't just enough, interest in it. Which, by the way, that was also, I think, the same year that at one of the U.S. electronics shows, they did the knitting machine that Howard Phillips actually showed being used. That was only just that prototype. But yeah, it's an interesting idea. It's really neat. I mean, the Singer Isaac machines, the thing about it is that keep in mind that this release came out around the time that, like, all those colorful iMacs were out, right? With all the various colors. And these Isaac machines were no different. It had that same kind of aqua blue color and, that matched one of the Game Boy colors. But there were other Rakuraku sewing machines. One of them, not sewing machine, the machine, but the game. There was an embroidery one, and then there was like another one that was sort of like a stitch embellishment one. So there were a total of four quote game cartridges that were released to be used with the sewing machine. And I know it's not technically a peripheral, but it is. a piece of gaming history and something that's meant to work with it. For example, the Jaguar release that came out in Japan actually had a little docking station for a Game Boy that you would plug it directly into the Game Boy while it had the game running on it, and then with the embroidery attachment. So it's pretty neat. I'd be lying if I said it, you know, I didn't want one. I would like one, you know, but again, I don't have, you know, $1,400 for it. So there you go. That's your peripheral of the month.
And of course, you can imagine not a lot of people really know about this, or they're hearing about this for the first time. So some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com.
I'll find a picture of it for everyone.
SJ100 Matt says, I did not know this existed. Looking at it now, it's pretty impressive that the Game Boy Color could handle this. Yeah, so that's kind
of
neat.
I put a link to one of the articles I got my information from, so uh-huh. You can see the U.S. one.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. The Jaguar one is all red. Hmm. I actually found a place that's selling them, so if anyone wants one and has $400 for it and is going to be selfish and not buy me one, I'll link it for you.
All right. Well, there it is, your classic peripheral of the month. We are going to take a break, but when we come back, there is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including some more rapid-fire news. We're going to get into release dates as well, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. When we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live with our 740th episode already in progress for tonight, August 5th, 2018, taping live as we always do at the Voice of Geeks Network, where we just got back from a little music break, and I can't help but read some of the chat happening during the music break. So Bobby shared a link with you about Animal Crossing.
I am putting this actually on my fan page.
Yeah? What is this? What is this?
How grammar works in Animal Crossing, apparently.
So it does grade you on grammar?
Yeah, it wow. has like certain, they're very simple rules, but like you have to, like whenever you put in a punctuation mark, like mm-hmm. a period or exclamation, or you know, you have to use a capital letter within three characters after. So it counts for doing the double space after a period.
Oh, so it lets you do either way.
Yeah.
Why would it let you do the wrong way? I'm just kidding. So I can write, you know, Barbara and say, like, you are the most smartest person in the village.
This person did a period space, just nothing but a letter full of it.
Uh-huh.
But if you do, like, I think more than 75 characters without any capital letters or punctuation, you get scored down 150 points.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Interesting.
It's really cool. I'm going to post it up on my fan page.
Okay. That's, who knew? Still wish Nintendo would announce a new Animal Crossing game already, but I suppose nothing as of yet. Anyway, let's see what they are announcing around the gaming world as we quickly look at some rapid-fire news. Loki.
All right, so we talked about last week what the Xbox Games with Gold lineup is, and now it's time for the PlayStation Plus free games for August. So starting off from PlayStation 4, we have Mafia 3 and Dead by Daylight. On PlayStation 3, Bound by Flame and Serious Sam 3 BFE. And finally, on PlayStation Vita, Draw Slasher and Space Hulk. So those are your free games. Mafia 3, that looks pretty cool. I'll have to check that out. But neat. And then a game I've been looking forward to and finally is going to be coming out. Unfortunately, someone, I know that we had a story a few weeks ago about how a iOS publisher had ripped it off and made a clone game out of it, but Donut Country is a game that's going to be coming out to PlayStation 4 and PC and iOS on August 28th. For those not familiar with it, it is a kind of like a Katamari game. It's a little bit of reverse Katamari. Basically, you control a hole that gets bigger as you drop things into it. And so as you drop, you start with smaller things and then larger things, and you solve puzzles doing that and stuff. And it's got a funny little raccoon that's like the main character in the game. So
Trash Panda.
Definitely worth checking out. So I'm very excited to play this. I've been looking forward to it ever since I saw the first trailer for it. So
I'll play Trash Panda the game.
I do wish Namco would make a new Katamari Damacy game already. This is like not mobile. Not the Katamari tapping game and that crap. I want a legit new game. But one thing that Namco is doing is that they're putting out Donkey, or excuse me, they're not putting that out, but they're putting out Taiko no Tatsujin out here in the West as well as Europe. But apparently it's going to be digital only, both places, even though there was box art floating around out there. It's going to be digital only, both places after all. And they're not releasing the actual Taiko drum, which, in my opinion, completely fucking defeats the purpose of Taiko no Tatsujin. But all right, I suppose there's some people that will play button-button mode. But you can, on the Nintendo Switch, use Donkey Konga bongos. That's why I started to say donkey, because the story is about that. If you actually use the GameCube adapter with your Switch, you can plug in Donkey Konga bongos, and you can play Taiko no Tatsujin with that. If, you know, you have Donkey Konga bongos still sitting around somewhere. Good luck with that. I mean, I guess maybe you could still find
eBay,
them at
a thrift store.
Yeah, eBay or thrift store or something.
Or locally, you know, was it like Dimple? Man, if you want anything retro game, they have everything.
But I do think it's a bonehead move to at least let a special order or something. At least do like an Amazon or, you know, a store. Yeah, well, not even like just like some type of like U.S. release or something. Like, it would be really nice if Namco would support that, because I kind of think they're just setting this game up to fail otherwise. So, which is a bummer for all the Taiko no Tatsujin fans out there. But I guess there's some people that'll tap the screen or use their buttons, but it's not the same thing. Anyway, Beatmania 2DX still trucking along after all these years.
Yes.
With the location test of 26th style, although they stopped calling them by numbers a long time ago. This particular version is called Beatmania 2DX Rootage is the name of it. Rootage, if you want to be fancy. Rootage, Rootage.
Well, Rootage, that just makes me think of watching all those Guy Tang videos.
Yeah.
With him talking about, we're going to do a shadow root on her Rootage.
So the location test happened this past weekend. Our pals at Bomani Style have a nice little write-up on it if you want to see some of the artwork from the game and so forth. It looks like they might be like making the how-to-play stickers general, so they don't have to keep updating it with every release and stuff. They might be making some changes to how high speed works. There's apparently 10 different high speed settings now, and it all scrolls the same regardless of the song's BPM. So that's kind of neat, although it does point out the BPM changes will still happen within a song. You can also do playlists through QR codes, kind of interesting. But other things that I thought was very interesting is that I was looking at the song list, and, you know, it's a lot of stuff I don't follow as much as I used to, although some of the artists are still there after all these years. Kors K, still there, a new song called Wonderland, and so forth. But I thought this was interesting is that Porter Robinson has a song in Beatmania 2DX Rootage, or 26. It's under his alias that he puts music out under now called Virtual Self, and the song is called Particle Arts. So if you've listened to that EP on Spotify or what have you, that song is actually going to be in Beatmania 2DX, and he actually tweeted about that on his account, Virtual Self, the song in the game, so that's there. I think that's kind of notable because Porter Robinson was kind of known for, or is kind of known for, he has directly cited Bomani Music as some of his influence as being a DJ. He's the one that will drop Look to the Sky and shit in the middle of his DJing and stuff when he does those things. I think he just did a big gig at Vegas. I think it was a big electronic festival in Vegas a couple weeks ago, because I think our pal DNL was there. So I think she was posting stuff from his set and stuff. So anyway, it's kind of interesting how that's come full circle, is that, you know, stuff like Beatmania and Bomani influenced this guy. He's a young guy. He's only in his early 20s. Influenced him, and now he is influencing future Beatmania games by having one of his songs in it.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. So if you want to hear the song, it's on like Spotify, Apple Music, all those places. Again, Porter Robinson now kind of goes by Virtual Self. He's one of those musical artists that changes his name. The song is called Particle Arts, if you want a little preview of what that'll sound like on the soundtrack. So that's it for me. Dark Sakura, what do you have for Rapid Fire News?
Some stuff. Basically, the Nintendo Switch for the June 2018 report actually is the only system that had software sales that increased over that particular quarter. But that's not all. The NES Classic was the number one best-selling hardware. So they beat out the PS4.
So the
suck it, Sony.
So the end. Well, and we don't even want to ask where Microsoft is. So the NES Classic sold more than the PS4 In the Xbox. Funny, funny how those things can sell when you actually put them on shelves. Funny how that works, right, Logie?
Yeah, it is funny how that works. It makes sense, though, because it was unavailable for the longest time. And then now, and I don't think there was any really big games coming out in June.
No, I mean, it's been a slow month for consoles, but I mean, still, you have to appreciate the novelty of here we are in the year 2018, and the best-selling gaming system of last month was the Nintendo Entertainment System.
People were worried they weren't going to be able to get it. They thought it was going to be limited.
Guilty!
Anyway, in other news, Mario Kart for Wii is showing up on NVIDIA Shield in China, which is basically how they get pretty much any Nintendo game, is it has to show up on NVIDIA Shield. That's how they got all the N64 titles that came out over there.
NVIDIA has some agreement with Nintendo, but it's like for China.
Yeah, and they're doing like,
they have
China.
Like, yeah, because I saw someone, maybe even Eurogamer, looking at like the emulator with it and stuff and saying that it's like up-resing some of the textures or something like that, or up-resing the geometry but not the texture. I don't know, something like that. But it's like its own unique emulator that's running the stuff, because they have Mario Galaxy was one of the games that was on there.
Yeah, but that's it.
I think they might be editing some of the games, too, because I thought I heard that...
Well, they have to.
Is China the country where you can't show skeletons, where they had to change the undead in World of Warcraft because you can't show skeletons?
I don't know.
Was it zombies?
Well, because I'm thinking of Drybones. The turtle. Wasn't he a playable?
But there's other things that they have to edit out, too.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, but I was thinking more like the multiplayer, I believe they had called out, is not going to be in the Mario Kart Wii. Like, they removed it, basically. Online multiplayer specifically. Obviously, in the same room is what Mario Kart's known for. That's still there. But the online multiplayer has been removed. So, interesting.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but...
I think the thought with that it's running on, you know, a Tegra-based console is that, hey, Nintendo has a Tegra-based console. Could we possibly get some of this shit on the Switch, please? Hey.
The plot thickens.
But no, probably not.
All right, well, let's talk about some things that are coming out a little sooner than Virtual Console or whatever Nintendo's doing next. It's release dates. Virtual What's coming out console. This week?
Yeah, I was going to like talk about releasing the game that I was working on, but like, and talk about lowering the bars for expectations and stuff, even lower than what we would expect for like the Virtual Console stuff. But anyways, this week we've got a few things. So starting off on PC, Mac and Linux, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, we have Dead Cells, which is a roguelike Metroidvania game. Flippin' Death on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Overcooked 2 on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Layton's Mystery Journey DX on the Nintendo Switch. I didn't even realize there was a Professor Layton game coming to the Switch. Minute, which is pretty awesome looking, and that's also coming to the Switch. Monster Hunter World on PC, Okami HD on the Nintendo Switch, Yakuza 3, I'm assuming the remaster, on PlayStation 4, and then we've got Football, Madden NFL 19 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
No one buys that stuff.
And finally, I guess, coming out of Early Access, We Happy Few on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
It feels early for Madden to be released, but I guess August is the month.
It is August. I guess they used to tend towards the end of the month, but...
Maybe they want to get the kids before they're back at school. Or, well, kids are going back to school like next week. Like, it feels like they go back earlier and earlier. Yeah. So, wow. All right. Well, anyhow, let's go to Japan and talk about what's coming out there. On the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week, Bullet Girls Fantasia. If you want to check that out from D3, that's out this week on PS4. Darkest Dungeon, as well as Fire Pro Wrestling World. Jake Hunter Detective Story, Prism of Eyes. That Bullet Girls Fantasia also has a limited edition version. There's a remaster of Ryu Ga Gotoku 3. And there is... that's it. Because the rest I'm looking at is for the next week after that. So that's what you have on the Vita this week. Looking at the Nintendo Switch, some of those same games are also out on the Switch, including Darkest Dungeon, Jake Hunter Detective Story, Prism of Eyes, The Layton's Mysterious Journey, that is also out in Japan this week, that same one that Loki referenced, also out in Japan this week on the Switch, Okami, So the Switch port of Okami is out this week, so that's pretty cool. And then Waku Waku Sweets, Amai Okashi ga Dekiru Kana comes out this week on the Switch. And I'm trying to see if this is something I would recognize, because it's from a company called Sonic Power, but no, sadly it has something to do with Sonic the Hedgehog. It's Happy Sweets Making. It's basically, let's learn how to make a cake. It's basically what it is.
Go bake me a cake.
Yeah, go bake me a cake. But it has this cute, look at this cute little doggy that wears a necklace made out of strawberries with this big pink bow. And I just want to, take that cute little puppy and say, go make me a cake, bitch. I can say that because it's a dog.
Only if it's a female dog.
This reminds me of Cooking Mama. And Cooking Mama, let's be fair, I know Waluigi is really a big contender for Smash, but Cooking Mama should really be a character in Smash.
Loki, you so don't want to hear about this, but I saw the most amazing tweet this week. It was like, it was a guy dressed up as Waluigi, but it was completely in like leather gear. So he was wearing a Waluigi leather hat and like little leather, and it was showing off the chest and all that stuff like guys that are in the leather do. And I was just like, that's art.
Alternative costume.
I think it was actually a bearded drag performer who did it. I think it was. I'll find it, Dark Soccer, so you can see it.
Okay.
This is something I could see one of your buddies here locally doing. So anyway. But first, UK releases. Well, I try to find that.
Overcooked 2 comes out on August 7th for PlayStation 4, Xbone, and Switch. On the PC, we have Quake Champion Scalebearer Edition on August 9th. And then on the 10th, we have Madden 19, who gives a shit, and We Happy Few for several different systems. And that is it. Okay,
here we go.
I have to see the leather daddy.
Artist Helvetica is the name of the queen that did that.
Girl.
But a bearded drag performer, so.
Some of that's photoshopped.
You think?
I think it is.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. The eyeshadow looks legit.
The nose.
I think the nose is legit.
I think that's photoshopped.
It is? All right, maybe.
Unless he's got some really good pigment.
I still laughed. That cracked me up. All right. Anyway.
Honestly, it's the little mustache coming right out of his nostril that looks like it's painted on in Photoshop.
Akuma wants a link. I figured some of you want this. It's Helvetica Queen, but it's not spelled the way you would think. It's not spelled like the font. Helvetica Queen. And then it'll be on their Twitter feed if you want to see that. All right. Anyhow, I can't believe I just gave out that tweet on air. All right. I thought it was. I was like, that's a good idea. That was well done. All right. Anyway, let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Although I don't remember if we got any this week, but I suppose Dark Soccer is going to tell me in a minute here. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Is where you send emails and we read them here on air, which we're going to do right now.
One.
Uno.
Rob, I was watching your stream this week of No Man's Sky. I know you'll probably mention it in your gaming week. I was curious to know what you think of the update. Is it something you will continue to play? Also, I was wondering about the multiplayer. I know you can have up to 4 people in your game, but I can't understand what the point is in naming a creature that you discover or making your base discoverable for other players when it seems to be invite only.
I'm going to jump in. Awkward, but I think we actually did do this one last week.
Oh, okay.
I seem to remember responding to it, but it was after
then
you.
Then delete the mail.
I checked the date.
He's getting rusty in his old age.
I mean,
you know,
here's the thing. I'm spoiled.
Cursing on Bobby's show.
when we had all the, remember when we had major problems with the emails and they weren't like, we weren't able to log into the mailbag. I had them all forwarded to my personal account. So I usually like, and I just never turned that off. So I just read them from my personal account. So sorry, Jamie.
Well, now the box is empty. I've even moved that Street Fighter 4 code into another folder.
Fair enough. Dark Sakura's cleaning up the mess in the inbox.
I'm always cleaning up after.
What is it that we threatened to do if the box is empty? I forget what we were going to be talking about. Something that was really...
We were going to email each other? No, there was something we were going to talk about that was going to be really offensive. I don't remember what it was.
It wasn't offensive to your senses, basically.
Yes.
What is the most offensive thing?
I'll just let Dark Soccer talk about it. You know what? This is
dick cheese.
Okay, no. Here it is.
Dick cheese is pretty offensive, though.
Official punishment to the listeners. As punishment for not emailing us in the past week, I am going to ask Dark Sakura more information about her trip to the Bolt. So tell me more about your trip to the Leather Daddy Bar.
Actually, my trip to the Bolt was really otherwise uneventful.
Ugh.
No, but I ordered a Lynchburg lemonade.
Okay.
And they didn't have lemonade, so they made it out of sour mix and triple sec. So I was toasty by that point, so I decided to get in the leather harness swing and sit in it like it was a toddler swing and swing back and forth.
You did
on
that?
The stage at the Bolt. And then I got a picture of one of the other sisters with her legs spread way out with up on the chain. Because you know what the harness looks like. Have you been to the...
I've seen it. I haven't been in it, but I've seen it.
It's a four-chain leather harness that's, you know, got a big leather seat in the middle. And so I was sitting on there swinging like I was in, you know, grade school. And then I got down and then we went in the back seat and I saw chickens fucking. At least it looked like it. The chickens, okay, were, I think they were all scrambled. There were chickens in the backyard.
It's been a while since I've been in the bars, but I don't remember any of this stuff.
This is, okay, the
Bolt. This is the CD bar on this, in the, like, close to the suburbs.
It's the leather bar, but it has a backyard. And I don't think chickens
It's actually fine. It's not as scandalous as it makes it, I know, as she makes it sound.
But they were these different hens that seemed like they were all just humping each other for some reason. And I'm like, what the fuck are you chickens doing? And then apparently there's rabbits back there too, but I knew about that. And then I went back in and watched more gay porn.
All right, there you go, listeners. Your punishment for not sending us any emails this week.
For the record.
Well, and if you continue to not email us, we will have more stories from Dark Soccer's weekends.
Bottoms, why? Now I know why.
Enough punishment. Okay, enough. Fine. Save it for next week, if just in case. All right, let's get to some more video. If you haven't already turned off the show, let's get to some more video game news, Loki.
My freaking ears. So let's talk a little. Well, this is almost as offensive as what we were just listening to. Microtransactions in Gran Turismo Sport. They promised, they said, hey, we're not going to put microtransactions in this game. And then sure enough, with the July update for Gran Turismo Sport, it added new tracks, more cars, oh, and microtransactions. They said that they weren't going to do it. So basically, you can purchase cars outright as long as, I guess, they're less than 2 million in in-game currency. Apparently, what's going to change is that for now, I guess you're going to be able to buy cars, I guess, for real money, too. So they're listing them for like $3 in the PlayStation Store if you don't want to grind for, you know, I guess, the Alpine Vision Gran Turismo 2017. I don't know. I'm not surprised anymore. You know what? With just the way this stuff is going, got to make all of the money.
If you're willing to pay it, they're willing to sell it.
But it's kind of lame. Like, maybe even a little bit disingenuous that they promise that they're not going to do it. They sell you the copy of the game, and then they patch it in later, and it's like, well...
Yeah, that's a little...
too fucking bad for you. You already paid it. You know, paid the money. It's like, you know... But their excuse is going to be, oh, we're giving player choice or something like this. You don't have to grind in-game. You can... Our game isn't worth grinding in. Just spend the money to not play the game. That never made any sense.
Especially way
me.
After the fact. It makes you, like, not even want to connect your game online to get these types of patches.
It's just,
you know,
it's
mean?
Just like, you know, the other games, too. Like, what was it? Shadow of War, where they, like, had the microtransactions in there and the ruined the balancing of the game. And then, like, months later, after nobody's using that shit anymore, then they're like... Oh, we're doing the good thing and taking it out. Look how awesome we are. See, we listen. We listen to you, consumer.
All right, real quick before we move on, Bobby's being that guy in chat saying, Devil's Advocate, the price of the cars doesn't change. So I guess you could still get them the old way if you want.
Right, but it's the fact that they're offering that in the first place as an incentive. They're making the grind. I'm assuming the grind is it is a grind. If it was easy, then it wouldn't be an incentive.
It's basically an unlock code. DJ Max did the same thing not that long ago. They put out a thing that you can download to, like, just basically unlock all of the songs. Anyway,
just want to say it was announced in chat. Thank you, SSJ100 Matt. That Sonic Fox just won the Dragon Ball FighterZ championship, fursuit and all. We have a victor who is a furry.
Okay, fun. work.
I watched him play. I think he was the Ten Shin Han player.
I saw an interview with him somewhere, so.
Pretty crazy.
Props to them, but my God, that's got to be fucking
That's got to be so hot. I know, that's the only thing. Like, I don't even think about the things that people say about, like, furries and that and all this. Like, I don't even care. Like, I'm just like, that guy's got to be fucking sweating in there. Maybe he's got fans and all that stuff. I don't know.
No, not this. This fursuit doesn't. I mean, it looks like his fursuit is really just, like, the arm pieces and the thing. But he was, when I watched him play last night, he was just wearing a furry hat, not the full suit.
Okay, I mean, that's just, I can imagine, like, if they have some sort of stage lighting, so that shit's gotta be fucking cooking.
SSG 100 Matt says he only wore the head after the matches ended. Okay, that's a little better, but still, I'm like, oh my God, I'd pass out. All right, anyway, thank you for the update. Another update for you guys. I don't know if anyone's using Gamefly, the streaming. Didn't they used to be a mail order service?
Yeah.
Well, they switched to streaming some time ago, so they're like a streaming only service. And
I didn't know they had streaming.
Yeah, they kind of shifted to that, and now they're going to be gone because Gamefly got acquired by EA. So
Well, throw in the towel. They're going to consume yet another country. Like, hey, this time they're even going outside of game developers. Hey, fuck it. We're going to eat this company now.
It's
got to feed the devil.
The Grim Reaper is just pointing, just sign here. Anyway, Bobby says they are still mail order. They never shifted away. So I guess I heard they had closed it down. Because maybe I just ended my account at some point. But I thought I'd heard they closed down. Anyway. So Gamefly is going to shut down the streaming service because EA got them. Gamefly streaming launched in 2015 as part of Amazon Fire TV, and now it's built into a lot of Samsung TVs and so forth. You can still get games on the mail discs, so that is still a thing that happens. But Gamefly streaming's closure is happening when it seems like game streaming is like still a thing that's growing out there. I mean, if you look at PlayStation Now, or you're looking at what Microsoft's been doing, EA, of course, also has its own thing, the Origin Access Premier. So I don't know if maybe some of what...
Of course.
Maybe some of the things that Gamefly had, they're going to fold into it to make that more attractive or whatever. I don't know.
How can they add microtransactions to game streaming? Because I'm sure that's what they would want to know. Fucking hate EA. Seriously.
All right. Well, anyhow, I learned today that Gamefly is still around. I seriously thought they had gone under years ago. Maybe I'm mixing them up with... I must be mixing them up with somebody else. Was there another?
GameTap.
Well, I knew about that one. But, yeah, I used to get discs from them, too, and then it just kind of stopped. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I did cancel it when I wasn't paying attention. Bobby says I'm mixing them up with OnLive, maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm mixing them up with OnLive, even though I know OnLive was a streaming thing. But anyway... Let's move on. It doesn't matter anymore. Dark Sakura, you got another story for us.
Yes, I do have another story. In this story, it has to do with King of Fighters and Pokemon Go-ish stuff. It's basically an augmented reality, the King of Fighters Go. You wander around picking up different fighters and fighting them, and then they join your repertoire. Yeah, you just keep building teams to fight other players. So it looks interesting. I guess it should be fun. I don't know if it's going to come out in the US though. Maybe it's still in testing. But yeah, it's supposed to be doing, it was originally titled King of Fighters the Orochi Saga Go, which means it was based around the 95-97 Orochi Saga from the game. So the beta was from July 27th through July 31st for iPhone using test flight, and the Android beta is unannounced, but maybe we'll see it. Who knows?
Now, this is a Go game I would check out. It can't be worse than Garfield Go. Like, you want to, and that Jurassic Park game.
My sister she plays that game, the Jurassic Park one, and she's like, you gotta play this game. I'm like,
it's,
no.
It's okay. It's better than the Garfield one, but it's not
Pokemon.
Garfield's
just crap.
Yeah, the Garfield one is garbage. But I check
it
out King of
Garfield bitch.
Anyway, so I hate to keep going back to this, but Evo is going on, I suppose, and this just came across my Twitter feed. So Sonic Fox, who just won, tweeted this 5 minutes ago. I'm gay. Also the best DBFZ player on this fucking planet. Don't forget it.
Awesome.
To which I respond, work, bitch. So, yeah, I looked at the bio for this individual. I'm a black queer furry who will mix your shit in fighting games. Own it, love it, work. That's all I have to say about that. Congrats. I am now a fan.
I need to find that tweet just so I can go, yes, bitch.
I'll
have to find it on my phone.
His Twitter is SonicFox5000.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Let's continue on. Loki, just another story for us. And then just a couple more. We're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
So I'm probably going to have a controversial opinion about this, but let's just talk about the story first, and then we'll get to that. So there is this little girl by the name of Penny McDonald, and she has released her debut game, Answer the Question, on Steam. What's notable is Penny is only 7 years old. And apparently since she was a toddler, she has been interested in making games. I guess her dad is a game developer, and she even started with learning Windows 98, learning QBasic, and that kind of stuff. And so now she's released her text game onto Steam, and it's cute that it's on there. And so it's basically this terminal-looking game where you answer math questions, and that's it, for 99 cents. So here's where I get controversial about it. I think it's great that she's releasing a game.
Why is it on Steam?
Why the fuck is it on Steam? Like, I get it. I'm all for her releasing a game. That's where itch.io is a great place to do that, okay? This shit does not need to be on Steam. I mean, I guess I shouldn't judge because there's a lot of garbage on Steam, but if this was anybody else making a game, it would just be like, why the fuck is this on Steam? And it's just because she's a little girl. And that's fine. You know, encourage her to make games, but it does not belong on Steam. It doesn't.
I mean, I don't want to, like, crap on a 7-year-old's game. And I haven't played the game, so I can't speak to the quality.
But to be fair, I think it's fine.
Great.
It's going to get buried under the garbage that is Steam anyway. So, whatever. I guess it's not really hurting anything, but it's not helping anything either.
Yeah, it's great. Good for her. I hope she keeps channeling that energy into making, continuing to make good games and so forth. But yeah, it is a little weird that, it just, you're right, it's going to get buried under all the other garbage.
It's like, it's her first game, and that's fine, but I'm not going to release. Okay, I showed Rob what my first game is. It's not even my first game.
He did show me during the break. It does exist. I've seen it.
But I'm not releasing that shit on Steam. No, I'm not doing that because it's garbage. It's just to learn. I mean,
you call a 7-year-old's game garbage?
I'm not saying it's garbage. I'm saying, like, it's QBasic. And QBasic, that's what you expect out of QBasic, is that shit.
It's limited.
It's very limited. And I'm... Great, but polish that up and then release it. It's like, just because you make your first game, does that mean it's ready to be published? Make more games. Make a dozen more games. And then when you get, like, a really polished game, then release it. I guess there's no harm that it's on there because it's not really taking up market play space, but it's showing that Steam has no quality control.
Mm-hmm.
Because not even, at least this is a functional game, and it works.
And it's not, we're going to assume she did not implement a Bitcoin miner in the game.
Right. That'd be the twist. No, but... Why are my resources so high?
Plot
There's
twist.
Text on the screen, you, and that's it.
All you gullible
rendering
people
text.
That fell for this. No, I shouldn't even say that. I'm sorry.
No,
I shouldn't say that.
And that's cool. Like, and I used to make games like in BASIC as well, but I'm not going to go grab that shit and say it's ready for publishing. I don't know. I just, that's where I have a kind of a little bit of an issue with it. But, I'm glad that she's trying. It's actually, that to go on kind of a tangent a little bit. I don't know if you remember, there was a Kickstarter campaign that was this person's first game, and they were, I think, 7 or 8 years old as well, and it was like an RPG. She wanted to make an RPG, an RPG maker, and it was like a troll quest thing or something like that. She was going to fight against the internet trolls because people were saying that this Kickstarter campaign was bullshit because she wanted like thousands of dollars to build what essentially is an RPG maker game. It's like... That only got attention because of the age. This is only getting attention because it's age as well. But I think where I agree, that she should make games. She should put them out there, not on Steam. That's where I'm at.
All right. So, you know, people want to fight you in chat. So here we go. Bobby starting off going, so where does it belong? Somebody did respond. You'd mentioned itch.io. Bobby said, I released my first game in middle school and 4 people bought it. That's 4 more people than would have never bought it if I'd not published it.
But you could put it on itch.io. You can sell it on itch.io, and I see no problem with that.
The great thing about PC games is you can self-publish all you want.
Yeah, you can do that. It just doesn't need to be...
Back when Bobby was in middle school, I'm assuming those were the days of shareware and BBSs and all that,
stuff,
which is how we kind of sold our
games.
You
know what? And that's fine. I guess, you know, at this point in the condition Steam is in, what's it going to hurt? I mean, I just think in the bigger picture, Steam should have some... quality control stuff.
I don't like totally disagree with you, Loki. Like I get that you're pointing out that, you know, this is a Q basic game and you don't want to.
It's not even a Q basic game. I think it's like it's something, but it resembles like a basic game.
You don't want to crap on the efforts of a little girl. You want to see her succeed, but Steam is maybe not, because this kind of exacerbates what the issue is with Steam, is that Steam will let literally anything in its door when that is not what Steam used to be. Steam was a heavy curated place that had these, you know, indie games and big AAA games alike and so forth. And then it just is kind of turned into the Google Play App Store at some point where it's just everything and anything.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what to really, how to react to this. I mean, I guess it's cool that she's got a game that she's publishing it. Cool. I mean, I don't know. Like, I went through, like, a C++ course. The first, like, one I did was, it was a terminal. It was based making terminal games. And one of those was, like, a roulette or slot machine game or something like that. That would be, like, if I published that on Steam. Like, it's shit. Okay? Like, the fact that a 7-year-old made it, it makes it less shit because it's like, wow, this is pretty amazing for a 7-year-old. Like, if my son made that, that's great. I would be like, wow, that's pretty awesome that you made a game. I would not go to publish it on Steam, though. I would say no. I'm like, hey, if you want to, we can try to sell a couple copies. I'll put it up on itch.io and I'll tweet out some stuff to my friends and we'll see if someone wants to buy it for 99 cents. Because that's all it is 99 cents.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put it on Steam.
Yeah.
Like, even if it was my own kid making a game that looked exactly like that, I would not put that on Steam. Because I know that's not where it belongs. It's, you know, I don't know. Like, if somebody bakes a cake in an Easy Bake Oven, you don't go put it on the fucking grocery store shelf to sell it next to the cakes that they make.
Actually, you put it on YouTube to make it a specialty channel.
Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm going to go back to this point. Why is it okay for itch.io to have garbage and not Steam? Shouldn't we be arguing for quality control for all? I actually, no. I think there is a difference between the two. I think itch.io is, by nature, an experimental playground, and there is less curation that goes on there, and that is both part of what makes it great, is because you are going to find things there that you are not going to find anything else because of, by nature, what it is. And it's also going to make it, yeah, you're going to play a lot of garbage that's on itch.io. But you go to itch.io, that's what it is.
And then they also have like kind of like blog stuff too. Like, it's a big old like, hey, I'm 7 and this is my first game, and you can talk a little bit about it and stuff. Mm. I mean, I guess you could do that on Steam as well, but Steam is like a commercial marketplace. Itch.io, I know they sell games on itch.io, but I'm not like, I'm getting the new release games on itch.io.
It's the indie record store versus, I guess, Walmart, because there are no big record stores anymore.
Like, or the same could be said with like GOG or something like that. I wouldn't want it on GOG either. I wouldn't want it on Humble Store. It's not viable for a commercial marketplace. It's a neat indie thing. It's cool that you made your project and that you want to sell it and see if you can sell something, but Like, I don't understand.
Okay, for me, MXC, and we'll move on here in a minute, but for me, MXC here makes a really good point, in my opinion. I think kind of hits what it is for me. I think people still have memories of when Steam was curated at all. So Steam, as of today, causes annoyance. Itch.io never attempted to gatekeep, and that was a huge cause for excitement with indie devs. With that said, Itch.io does very well with highlighting some of their best recent releases with post and front page widgets, even with their own massive libraries. I think you said that very well, MXC. I do want to read this comment from Sia Tiberi as well. Loki, I partially agree with you, but I think this might be a case of I can't hold others to the same standards I would myself or my family. You can't fault someone else for putting out what they might believe is their best or what they believe is worthy of something, even when it's not something you would personally be willing to release.
I understand that, but it's not her that put it out. It's her parents that put it out because she didn't front the $100 for Steam to do all that. But that's fine. You know what? At this point, what's it going to hurt? I mean, honestly, it's not going to hurt anything because Steam is in the condition that it is. And to be honest, her game is probably better than a lot of the shovelware garbage that people put out.
And it's not going to be mining for Bitcoin.
And it's not mining for Bitcoin. So she's already ahead of the pack in that sense whatsoever. It's 99 cents. I shouldn't really be taking offense to it. And it's really, I don't take offense to the game itself. I take offense to Steam. Steam as a whole is where I have problems.
I'm going to read one more comment and then I'm going to wrap up here because I know Darksoccer is going to be heading out in a minute. Akuma JP in chat says, if there is a place for a child to place their game, I will say put it there, but there's none. So I think she can put it there if she wants. And so I guess defer to the comment about, you know, you don't have a problem with the game. You have a problem with Steam.
Right.
And it's the same problem you said at the beginning of the show. I get
maybe
it.
They just need a separate place for, not the, like Greenlight was, but maybe just like the Steam Playground or something.
Yeah.
You know,
Steam.io. No, I'm just kidding. Don't call it that.
Well, but at any rate.
Anyway.
Good for her, though. And I hope that she's encouraged to do more with her success.
Exactly. Like, it's a tricky subject because you don't want to deter her. The issue is Steam and what it is and isn't allowing. The issue is not that she made a game. Good for her. Like, I hope she will channel that into making more games and improving the game that she has started and continues to do that. So I hope that is clear in this argument. Anyway, Darksoccer, I know you have to head out.
Yes.
So anything you want to say to listeners before you head out?
I'm fucking tired. No, seriously. I've had a very busy day today and have been out in the sunlight because I helped with a charity car wash today, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very fun. We made over $400 for Nevada County HIV testing, which they have zero government support.
Really?
Yeah. They have no funding. So we've raised $400 for them.
Wow.
And we're adding in another $100 from our local, you know, from the sisters. So we are making a nice $500 donation.
Very cool. I'm surprised to hear about that because we need to talk off air about some of this stuff.
Okay. But at any rate, you know, it makes me feel good to do these things, but at the same time, I'm really freaking tired.
Sure, of course.
So it was, yeah. And all of you guys, you know, I would encourage that if you feel something that, you know, very strongly about something, look into your local communities and see how you can help, you know, even if it's volunteering at an event for a couple of hours or even hosting a video game marathon to raise money for charity, you know. Look into that. I'm going to be doing the same thing for my mom probably in a couple of weeks to raise money for my mom. So just if you care about your community, put your heart in it. Put your actions where your mouth is.
All right. And on that note, we are going to get to one more story. I still have one more story here. And then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Before we get to Skype line, I have one more story. That last story took a little longer than I thought it would. But this story is about an undiscovered Atari 2600 sequel.
I was going to say undiscovered country.
No, undiscovered sequel to an Atari 2600 game that has been found all these years later, basically. It's a prototype for Keystone Capers 2. Did you ever play Keystone Capers on Atari 2600? It was the cop and robber game by Activision. And it's actually a really good game.
It was a fun little game. I've got it.
For Atari 2600, it was a really fun game. Well, unfortunately, the prototype, it isn't really like a playable thing. It just kind of shows the policeman running. But it does show that the sequel was originally going to be set on a train. So it shows this train that's basically like multi-screen that the cop is kind of running between. And the effects with like the mountain in the background and the scrolling with the cactuses and everything, the effects are pretty darn good for an Atari 2600.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's really neat. So, basically this ended up being kind of a tech demo. It's not an actual playable game or anything. But I'm sure it's just a matter of time before this ROM hits the internet, since the prototype, I guess, went to the NVGM. I'm not sure what that acronym is, but I'm assuming it's some type of game museum or, you know, place that archives this type of stuff. So that is really cool. There was some information on this game a little while ago. It's just, this is the first time video has come out of it, because I think he was quoted in an interview, and programmer Dan Kitchen was quoted in an interview once saying, you know, I did a sequel to Keystone Capers. It was a cop on a train, and it was called Keystone Cannonball was what it was going to be called. But this is the first time we're like seeing video. And again, it's 2018, and we're seeing video for the first time of a game that probably should have been released in around 1984. So
yeah,
pretty cool. Pretty cool. Anyway, with that, the Skype line is open. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to give us a call about anything we've talked about tonight, or maybe something we haven't talked about tonight. While we wait for a call to come in, I don't know if we have any quick last-minute stories we want to get to, Loki?
I didn't. Oh, yeah, actually, I was going to mention something as kind of a surprise this week. La Mulana 2 released.
No, I'm sure Dark Tattoo is all over that one.
Yeah, so they, I guess, announced and released it or something. I thought it was announced already.
Available now. Yeah, they've been teasing it for a while, but then it just kind of like came out.
It just came out, yeah.
Because they had a Kickstarter, so it's been known about for a while. So anyway, we do have a call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Rama.
Hey, Rama. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Not too much, besides the fact that I hate Skype version 8, but that's a story and a rant for another time.
Yes, I'm using this Skype Windows XP until I can't anymore, but we're talking about off-air some of the upgrades we're going to be doing pretty soon. I'm hoping by the end of the year it's going to be a very different sounding OLR than it is now.
I hear you. I already told my staff we're moving to Discord for this week's show. End of story.
Oh, interesting. You know, a lot of people are doing voice chat on Discord, and I've been asked if OLR is going to make a move like that. And TBD. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, there is one issue with Skype 8. If they fix the automatic microphone control, if they fix it properly, we're sticking around. If not, it's getting uninstalled. Simple as that.
Yikes. I still know a lot of people that use Skype. I always hear this argument, like, nobody uses Skype. But I'm like, all the online Big Brother Survivor reality game stuff that I've played, like, they're all on Skype and they all chat with Skype regularly. Like, it's a big platform, and I still think tons of people are using Skype to like call family in another country and things like that. Like, I think Skype is still like super popular. It just isn't popular with the techies, I think, is what's happening.
Yeah, in the tech community, basically using maybe Discord, but yeah, for the most part Slack. And you have Microsoft Teams, but you got to think about it. When you install Windows on your PC, like Windows 10 or Windows 8, Skype is right there. So it's like an easy one to go to.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's part of the reason why. That's part of the reason why. Well, I mean, again, we've been taking calls on Skype since, I don't want to say before anyone, but I really think before anyone. back in like 2003 or 4 was our first Skype call. So, you know, we just stuck with it. We saw no reason to leave it yet.
Yeah, basically. But let me say what I got to say, then I'm going to get out of here so that other people can join in and call and have fun. Well, first thing, your threat of a punishment, you're going to have to try harder than that, good sir.
I tried. Somebody out there's ears were bleeding. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? We had no emails. I had to fill the segment somehow.
This is true. And as we all know, last weekend was the Overwatch World Grand Finals.
Yep, which London won, right?
Yeah. I didn't watch, but I was actually hanging out with some of my friends that actually worked the event.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, one of my friends, Cassie, she was the official May cosplayer for the event.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and her, I think her husband, who works for Blizzard, he was part of the whole tech support team and the breakdown. So, like, Sunday, me, her, and a few others, we actually did like a little walking tour of New York City, and it was kind of fun.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the league continues to grow next year. I've heard they already have two expansions confirmed. One of them is going to be Atlanta. The other one is a city in China, which I do not recall the pronunciation of off the top of my head, so I apologize, but it's another team out of China. And Atlanta, although I don't know if they are. I mean, one place I've been a little bit critical of Overwatch League is, and granted, this is probably just a first year thing, but the fact that these teams don't live in the cities they represent, they're all in LA playing at the Blizzard LA arena.
Yeah. there's something about that that I know. So yeah, that's, we'll just leave it at that.
Well, for what it's worth, it's public and out there that is not the long term goal. That they are looking at building more arenas, and that the long term goal is it would be more like football or whatever, where these teams would be in their cities. Like, that is something that Blizzard's gone on record saying. So if they're making moves to do that, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm actually happy to hear it.
Well, that's good. I'm all for that. I'd like to see more teams. And, you know, if you remember, I was very critical of, like, esports and so forth. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to warm up to it. Maybe if they had really gotten more into televising gaming events like this, like, 5-10 years earlier, I'd be all for it. Because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I can't see myself watching somebody play Street Fighter V, you know, whereas I will flip the channel and sit there and watch my favorite sports team win a game or something like that, you know?
And my big thing is, and still continues to be, is that I hope the expansion of the league will lead to more diversity, because this is how I said, this is why I would like the Overwatch League to be successful. I'm not out here shouting, shut them down or anything. But the great thing about expansion is that you don't have to let anyone that's already there go. So these, you know, these white dudes that are all make up the a lot of folks from Asia as well that play on these teams. None of these folks have to go anywhere, but maybe we could get some more women. I know there are more women that play Overwatch than one, you know, so maybe we can get some more diversity with the ethnicities, and nobody who's currently there has to go. That's the great thing about expansions.
Again, there's something that I was told that I would have to tell you off air.
Yes, so you'll have to tell me off air. Will it make me happy or sad?
I don't know. Okay. I know you pretty well, Rob, but I can't predict how you would take this type of news.
All right. Now you got me curious now, but all right. Fair enough. I respect the privacy of whatever it is you got going. So, all right. Well, my friend, any other thoughts?
No, that's it. I am basically getting ready for Otakon this weekend, so my liver is on full standby.
Have a great time. That'll be me in a few weeks getting ready for Dragon Con.
And then after that, we have to have VOG Reunion Part 2 at MAGFest.
Oh, I hope so. I would love to go to MAGFest again. You know, MAGWest is this coming weekend.
So, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so we'll see. I may make a cameo. One of my buddies is really trying to get me to go, and I have plans to go to San Jose for something non-related anyway, so I may drop in for a little bit. So we'll see.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, I just might. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go, though.
All right, you too. Take care, brother.
Take care. Bye. All right, let's see. I saw a couple other calls coming in, so let me see if we can get another one of those. At Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype before we wrap up here for the night and move on. So let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up? This is Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo. What's on your mind, buddy?
How much? You can hear me, right?
Yep, you are great.
All right, you were talking earlier about No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And how you can, you know, you had fun playing with Bobby Blackwolf. And who was the other person? Dungeon Buster?
Yep, Dungeon Buster. Say? My buddy Neil pops in now and then, too.
Yeah, so you said you guys were having fun, but you don't know, like, the longevity of that because you really weren't doing anything together. And I just wanted to remind you that there is voice chat. I think with voice chat, that opens the door to so much fun because then you can communicate. You're exploring together. You know, somebody might find something. They call you over to check it out. You know, you just take a long, kind of like Stand By Me in space.
I guess. Like, yeah. You know, and maybe things that have happened to me, like when the biological horror showed up and I started screaming on my stream. Like, if Bobby had been there, too, when I did that, then at least there would have been two of us to take him on. And maybe that's the trick to doing that stuff a little easier, is to bring some friends along to zap those aliens down, since you kind of know what you're in for. So maybe, you know, maybe there is some stuff. But I just kind of feel like...
But I just mean that communication aspect.
Yeah, for sure. And since we've been streaming, when we play online together, we do talk. And, you know, that, again, it was fun. And I'm not saying, like, you know, it's just when you kind of start to play the game on your own, you're really kind of exploring the story. You find that a lot of it is about how much have you explored? How many words have you learned? How many things, you know, and it does seem like you're still kind of in a solo story, which... If the spoilers from the first iteration of the game still hold true about what the whole thing kind of ends up being at the end, I could see how it's kind of like a solo experience. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, kind of sharing with that with other people. But I'm just like, I don't see myself playing through this with somebody by my side for the entirety 60 hours or whatever it takes to get through the story. You know what I mean?
But like the way that I see it is like, you know, I go back to when I was a kid, and you know, I used to get games like Monopoly and Clue, and now know what the fuck to do, not understand the rules, couldn't comprehend the rules. I'm like 6 or 7 trying to do like D&D, and I'm just like, fuck it. And me and my friends just made up our own game. And I think that sometimes with some games, you don't need to just play the solo mode. Just like I said, like explore, communicate with each other, and just kind of make your own game.
Yeah,
your own exploration game.
That's a fair perspective. I bet people are making, you know, No Man's Sky is a sandbox of sorts, and I bet people are making their own games out of it. You know, I think, aren't they supposed to have like racing and stuff that comes to the game eventually? I don't know.
I thought that they mentioned that.
I tuned into a random stream, and some dude was driving a car. So I know that's a thing that I just haven't unveiled yet.
They have vehicles. You
can. I didn't even know that was a thing until I watched some random Twitch. So there's more.
Yeah, that's actually in the second update.
Yeah, there's more yet. Okay, Dungeon Buster confirms there's a racing track module. So that would be fun. So I think there's still more to discover. But yeah, I think it's probably the sandbox versus the story of the game. I don't think the story of the game is really going to be that great with the multiple people, but the sandbox element, absolutely. The racing track stuff will be fun.
Yeah, and as far as you know, there aren't any space battles yet in the game. I mean, I know that you fight in space, but like, can you team up with each other?
I don't know how that works yet. I know you fight space pirates, but I don't know if you can team up with others to fight the space pirates.
Yeah, I remember those guys being in the ass. But yeah, that's all I wanted to call about. Just wanted to remind you that, you know, you can communicate and I have all types of fun, because I mean, I play a lot of games online, and people are so fucking quiet these days. It's just like, no one talks online. Unless they're like some kind of party chat maybe, but I mean, it's very rare.
Nope. I mean, I appreciate the other perspective. You're right. Sometimes the game is kind of what you make it in a way. And that's especially with a sandbox game like Minecraft, like No Man's Sky, like, you know, a lot of games that are out there right now. It is what you make it. So, all right, my friend, Take care.
All right, man. Thanks for taking my call. All right, peace.
Yeah, anytime. Take care, buddy. Bye. All right. That is going to wrap us up for tonight because I have some plans after the show. So sorry to those that didn't get through, but you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, because, you know, we're not getting emails. Or you can always tweet us @OLR. That's a Twitter name I will not be changing, and I'm going to hold on to that three-letter Twitter name with dear life. I may have given up a four-letter Twitter name, but I'm not giving up the three-letter one. Anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening tonight. As I always say at the end of every show, if you enjoyed what you heard here tonight, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread a word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to air, well, what are we supposed to do? I hope those of you that went to Evo had a good time. I hope everybody that's been sitting at home gaming, whether it's No Man's Sky or building your own games or whatever, I hope you've been having a good time as well. Let's go around and get everybody's final thought for the night. I forgot to mention the 5-star reviews wherever you pick this show up, iTunes, Google Play. Those go a long way. Although I guess somebody was telling me you can't actually rate things on Google Play. I thought you could. And somebody had asked about Stitcher, so I haven't mentioned this in a while. I did ask OLR to be removed from Stitcher some time ago because their podcast refreshing feed was not staying current. The show was months out of date, and nothing was changing, and they were doing nothing about it. So when I got emails from Stitcher people that were like, why aren't you putting on any episodes? I said, Stitcher is not representing our show the way it should be represented, and so I had it pulled. So that's why we're not on Stitcher. So I can recommend every podcast player out there except one. Sorry, I know that one's pretty popular, but I'm sticking to it. You've got to accurately reflect. If your niche is going to be delivering podcasts, you need to deliver podcasts. Anyhow, not to dwell in a negative space, but you guys deserve to know the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's what it is. All right. Let's get final thoughts. Loki, your final thoughts.
I'm going to have to start a new game now that I finished the one I was working on.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't know. It'll probably be along the same lines, just not the way they did it.
As I say, you should make the one you did better.
Well, I can, but I can only do so much with that. I already have like an idea. I don't want to do my grand idea that I had that was along the same lines, but maybe something smaller. So we'll see.
Well, at least I can tell Bobby I have seen a game that Loki has done. It was it's very basic, but it's there. You did it.
We did. It's time that. car as well, but that never got released.
Well, but you didn't, and you still had unfinished stuff.
No, start that over and Unreal.
There you go. There you go. All right. Anyway, let's see. That's going to do it for tonight's OLR. My final thought tonight is I need to spin some Pokestops today. It's getting late. All right. That's going to do it. Thank you guys so much for listening to the show tonight. I appreciate it as always. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all again with episode 741. Until then, happy gaming. Be nice to each other online and shake hands at the end of it. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.